Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. Good morning. Hi, it's Friday. Super Joe, it's Friday. Excited?
Yeah, thumbs up. A lot of excitement in the producer's booth. Hi, everybody. I'm Steve, your radio friend. And welcome to a big Friday on the program. Bridget Gaynor's coming in. I love that Bridget in. She stops by most Fridays, almost every Friday, because, you know, it's close to where she works, and, you know, she has some fun. Michael Heidemann will be in for his semi-regular feature, Crap He Found on the Internet. Maybe we need a better name for that. Maybe we don't.
We couldn't remember the name you originally called it.
I change it every day. It's a problem.
Yeah, so that's why the crap on the internet got put on the grid.
Seems like that's right. Ed Farmer on the, as Dave told you, the white hot White Sox.
They keep finding ways.
Got to break them up. They're too good. Got to break them up.
I think I would do that. No.
And an update on one of our favorite organizations, Let It Be Us. It helps foster kids find families. All that coming up amongst, you know, other things. Of course, you guys on the phone or texters. I don't need to get texters telling me I never put people on the phone. You call, you'll get on the show, possibly.
Well, if you have something interesting to say.
Yeah, and if you have nothing to say, if you call and ask what time it is or something, I mean, I'm not going to put you on the air. 312-981-7200. Joe, you probably don't get calls of people asking what time it is. I guess that's probably a bit extreme.
Nope. No time calls, that's for sure.
Without offending anyone, what's the most ridiculous call you've gotten this week?
Oh, boy. Might have to censor myself on this one.
So it would offend someone if you saw.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, as long as they're still listening.
And you know what, Steve? You completely went past the biggest story of the morning.
Which is?
It's going to be sunny and dry today.
Yeah, and tomorrow and Sunday.
And the whole weekend's going to be dry.
How about that?
Time to do yard work. Yeah. I know. Everybody's lawns are so long.
Yeah.
It's a mess out there.
Some of them are underwater still.
Well, that's true.
Who's doing yard work?
Well, I think I'm going to be mulching.
Hmm.
Got a mulch. Mm-hmm.
You got a service? You want to swing by my house?
Yeah. My husband and I'll do it. We're tough.
Okay. Right.
She's implying you're not. I told him he's got to plant
She's
bushes,
not wrong.
Though. You want to plant my bushes?
Not a chance. Not a chance. Well, I have a golf tournament tomorrow morning. I have a lot of problems tomorrow morning. I got a golf tournament at like 8 a.m.
And the weather's going to be nice.
You're already in your little golf vest.
Yeah.
I know. Did you notice that?
It is. It's really a cute little golf vest, Steve.
I like it.
Could you pat me on the head any harder? Look at you in your little golf vest.
It's so cute.
He's in a little golf vest, and Dave is wearing the same colored Under Armour pullover.
Yeah, Dave called me this morning. He said, let's wear the Robin's Egg blue.
Yeah. Very blue.
Are you guys golfing today together?
No.
Oh.
I wasn't
invited. We just wanted to dress accordingly. I don't think I'm going to play golf today. I'm taking my mom to see Paul Reiser today.
Oh, nice.
Tonight, yeah.
Now, she's a heckler. So that could be problematic.
Mm-hmm.
First joke Paul doesn't have that's funny. Get off the stage, you bum! You know, so that's a problem.
How do you know she's a heckler?
She's heckled me.
That's what.
Yeah. Before we met, it's a long story.
Is this her Mother's Day gift?
No, you know what we do? This is at the risk of not telling the longer story. My mom and I met in 2003.
Right.
What? I was adopted, and my birth mother and I met in 2003. And every year, as close as possible to the day we met, we celebrate that day. And it just happens to be May 4th, which is, you know, tomorrow.
Oh,
and I'm
busy
tomorrow.
You've got a golf tournament.
Well, the Paul Reiser thing seemed good because, you know, she's very funny and she'd like to go, I think. Maybe she just said yes because I asked her. I don't know.
That could be. She has plenty of time to back out.
Is she getting dinner out of the deal?
I don't know. The timing's not great. You know?
Show is like nice. At 7:30.
Show's at 7:30.
You could take her for dinner?
Yeah, but you got to get dinner like then at 5:30 on a Friday. And,
I'll just buy her a drink then.
Is there a drive through on the way, maybe?
No, you can't get drive through.
Hot dog place?
The new Dairy Queen and all the blizzards. Get
there
her a blizzard.
Go, Mayor. Or the Hampton Social. at Old Orchard opened, and Dave and I have gone. It's very nice. You could take her there.
Well, my mom's reached a point where she should be eating at 4:30 or 5 o'clock, but she still eats like at 8 at night.
Oh.
So, if you're like, I told Riser the other day, I said, if you're not funny, we'll just walk out and get some dinner. We'll just leave and go get some dinner.
You're going to have to bring snacks. Man.
Paul Reiser and music tonight. That'll be a fine show. North Shore Center for the Performing Arts. I don't know if there's any tickets left, but if you're going, I hope I see you there. Let's do the top six at six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Item number one, it stopped raining. But the numbers are impressive. Sandberg, do you have that regular weather thing you do, that interactive rain map?
I do. I've put together my interactive rain map with,
all right,
the,
can
with
I
the
just
help of the Chicago Tribune.
Can I throw a city at you?
Yeah.
All right, let's go with Chicago for starters.
Chicago, they don't even rate Chicago, so they must not have even...
O'Hare.
O'Hare, hang on. Of course, I am not the best geographic as to...
Come on, this is your map.
I know. Well, here, let me just tell you where Dave and I live in Deerfield, the rain gauge in Deerfield. In the last 7 days, 5.84 inches of rain.
That's
in
a
the
lot.
Last 48 hours, at up till 3 o'clock yesterday, 2.66 inches.
Let's go Downers Grove.
Downers Grove. 4.82 inches, 2.16 in the last 48 hours. Oakbrook, do you like that mall?
Sure, Oakbrook, yeah.
That's by me.
Okay, 4.49 inches.
Okay, what about south? Orland Park.
Orland Park. Can I give you Homer Glen?
Sure. I was hoping you would. Isn't Homer Glen way north?
No.
Where's Homer Glen?
Way south.
Way south.
That's what
Look
I meant.
Look at me knowing a south side.
That's what I meant.
4.92 inches.
Okay.
I got the Midway and O'Hare numbers.
Do you?
Yeah. 5.06 at Midway, 5 inches, and 5.06, and at O'Hare, 5.04.
What about Aurora?
Aurora,
5.26.
Hey, do you want to know in Naperville they had 5.02?
It's a lot of rain.
It is a lot of rain.
And that's in the last 7 days.
How about Romeoville?
That's actually in the last, from April 20th, 27th through May 2nd.
Wait, you want
Romeoville or Juliet Town? Either one of those.
Yeah, both of those will work.
I don't know. I don't see Romeoville.
Romeoville, 4.94.
What's this? Steve's got the magic formula.
Can I interest you in Little Calumet River?
The Little Calumet River?
5.79 okay. inches.
It's a lot of rain. Is that the most? 5.79?
Yeah, that's the most.
Bourbonnais, 3.75.
You like to call that?
Are you kidding? No. I had four in Bourbonnais. Ugh. Item number two, Mayor Emanuel, speaking to the City Club of Chicago yesterday, admitted he can rub people the wrong way sometimes. He's headstrong. He's impatient. But he says sometimes needed to get results. I am who I am, said Popeye. When pressed about being a 1% mayor, he responded, you name me one world-class city in the world of the decaying Central Business District. Name one. They don't exist. I'm proud that we have a thriving, successful Central Business District that gives us the revenue to also fund from 14 to 33,000 kids in summer jobs. And you can call me a homer if you like. And the mayor is a friend of the show. But, you know, he knows that we talk to him about tough topics here. But I also think he deserves credit for the good stuff he's done.
Mm-hmm.
And City Jobs for Kids, that's a program that has to continue to grow. And he cranked it up. So good for you, Mayor Emanuel. The fact that he sometimes can rub people the wrong way. Sometimes? Item number three. Facebook barred 7 prominent users on Thursday, including the creep Alex Jones. Founder of something called InfoWars, which is just the biggest joke ever in front of a microphone. Also, Louis Farrakhan, the outspoken black nationalist minister and a legendary anti-Semite. Company also said that those two, amongst others, violated policies, including in against folks with their dangerous individual category and dangerous organization. So they are banned. Next, James Holzhauer. Now is the record for the second longest winning streak in Jeopardy. His 21st consecutive victory on Thursday. You still watching it?
I did not see it yesterday, but here's my question.
Yeah.
At what point does this no longer become news? I mean, he wins every day. It's the norm now.
Yeah, I guess when he loses, right? That's when it's news.
Well, I guess when he sets each of these milestones as he did yesterday.
I think what people need to know is somewhere in America yesterday, a baby was born who will someday grow up and beat James Holzhauer on Jeopardy. Next, sad story, Chewbacca dead. The actor Peter Mayhew played Chewbacca for the last 50 years. Is that right? 50 years? 40 years? 5 decades? 45 years, I guess. When did Star Wars, the original Star Wars come out? Was it 76?
1976, I believe.
I'll say 43 years. Chewbacca, Peter Mayhew, 7 foot, what, Steve, 2, 3, 4 inches tall?
Oh, you got me there.
7'2" is what he's listed at.
Yeah.
I do know he did not have a lot of lines, though.
Yeah, and he didn't do that voice,
a lot
did
of growling.
He? Growling. That voice was looped in.
The woo noise?
You nailed it, Barry.
That's the worst Chewbacca I've ever heard.
Rest in peace,
I'm not good at noises.
It's not a noise. It's an impression. And finally this. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Has the switch to mobile ticketing bothered you? Do you miss the keepsake? Sucks. Season ticket holders have the option of getting their tickets printed for $25 per seat for the season. I think it's nice.
Everybody's going to this, though. They're mobile ticketing.
In the story about it.
You don't want to spend money on the paper.
There was a 57-year-old man who it took him an hour to figure out how to download the tickets, but he understands why people are doing it. And you no longer have to have a meeting point to hand over a ticket to your buddy if you're meeting for a game. You know, you just send it to him.
That's part of the fun, getting frustrated with your friend. Where the hell are you? That's your top six at six right there.
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Lou's first call is next. You have a problem at your house, whether it's wet or dry or anything in between. 312-981-7200. Call now. Be Lou's first caller, Nick. How's your MyPillow? Did you sleep pretty good last night? I know I did. Night 2 of the new MyPillow. I like to break them in every couple of days.
You getting to know each other?
Yeah. Yeah, what did I named it, didn't I? What did I call it?
Bertha.
No, I didn't call it Bertha. Are you crazy? Can you imagine going to good night, Bertha? What is that?
What's wrong with that? Hey, I think we were going to have a text question about your sleep positions.
Yeah. What was the question? I remember you talking about it.
How do you sleep?
Which would be what, belly, side, or back?
Yeah, I sleep with a pillow over my head.
What is that, by the way?
I don't know. I've always done it. I need to have... I black out everything. So if right, I have my little face poking out...
I don't want to get too personal here, but, you know, it's the show. So, Pat, early on in your relationship, did you ever wake up and go, why are you trying to suffocate yourself?
Oh, no. But, I mean, when we were first dating, I never slept. I just laid there until it was time to get back up. I couldn't relax.
Just staring at the ceiling, like, how do I get out of here alive?
Yeah, he didn't even always have his dresser drawers pushed in. It was a real problem. I could not sleep.
Why didn't you just get up and go?
You know what? I did initially, and he kind of implied that I was, you know, like a lady of the night, that I would want to leave. And I was like, I can't
leave
sleep.
Leave the money on a dresser.
Didn't want to do the walk of shame.
Right, so I would stay like a polite woman. And then I wouldn't sleep, and I would just get up when it was, you know, okay to get up.
Wow. It's the funniest image. 43 million. That's how many MyPillows have been sold over the past 13 years. If you haven't tried one yet or held one over your head, what are you waiting for? MyPillow has built an incredible business on the foundation of helping people sleep better. Ditch that flat, worn-out pillow you've been sleeping on for years and join the millions who are getting the best sleep of their lives. MyPillows. So you just laid there and stared at the ceiling?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I would stare at him.
It's not in a good way.
Yeah,
it's like, no. How do I get out of here? Yeah. It's hard to describe on the radio. Not well, certainly Sandberg's life is, but in addition to that, this whole MyPillow situation, you got to try it, is the bottom line. 800-299-9579. Right now, use the promo code WGN for 50% off of MyPillow 4-pack. Plus, you get free shipping. That's 50% off 2 premium MyPillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows with free shipping. MyPillow is so confident you're going to love your new pillows. They're going to give you a 60-day money-back guarantee. Sleep on them, and if you don't believe they're the best that you can get, return them for a full refund. 800-299-9579 or MyPillow.com. Use the promo code WGN.
Cubs and Cardinals have been going at it for generations. Saturday, all eyes are on WGN-TV as they meet again in a matinee special. Saturday, 2:30, WGN-TV.
It's Lou's first call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's first call.
I'm not sure if I should regret asking Sandberg about that or just let it go. Lou, what do you think?
I would let it go.
Let it go?
Yeah. The whole lying in bed and not sleeping. It's
staring at
going
the
in a way different direction.
Lou, how do you sleep? What's your sleep position?
I fall asleep on my back.
Okay.
And you wake up in the living room.
And if I don't snore too much, my wife doesn't kick me out of the bed. So
okay.
I will end up turning on my side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's the healthiest way to sleep is on your left side. Did you know that?
I sleep on my right side.
Oh, you're so
I'm
close.
I'm left-handed.
So close.
Wait,
so close. You're,
what does left-handed have anything to do with it?
I don't know.
In case he needs to reach for something.
Right, exactly, right.
I think, Steve, did you say you sleep on your knees? Is that how this came up in the office?
No. Yes. Yes, in a Buddha position. No,
I can't remember.
No, I sleep on my stomach, which is not the healthiest position, but it's better on a sore back.
Yeah. You know what I think the biggest problem about sleeping is now? Is
Mayors
don't have home phones anymore.
Yeah.
And so you sleep with your cellular phone next to you.
Yep.
And I don't like that.
No, it's not good. Plus, I wake up every 15 minutes and check and see if anything's going on.
Okay. Right. Well, that's
super healthy.
From the Buddha position. Just open your eyes. You just kind of like open your eyes. They're going back. They're like flitching back and forth.
Bob is in Inverness. Bob, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Bob, what's your problems for Lou?
I have a question for you, Lou. I have an asphalt driveway, and there's a small
corner. Hey, easy on the language. Easy on the language.
Well,
you got a driveway. You got a driveway that's troublesome, but you don't need to be calling it names.
Right. I know, it's just aggravating.
Yeah, okay.
I got a small part of it that's crumbling. Do they make a good patch that you can use? I can do myself for that problem.
They do. It's a brand new product that I really like, called Aqua Fault. And what you need to do in that area where it's got the crumbling thing, the best thing to do is to put an asphalt blade on a circular saw and make a square cut. Getting an edge is really going to make a huge difference in the overall repair.
And then you put the patch in the square.
Then you pull out the
stuff.
Pull out the old loose material and get down to the gravel if you can. This Aquafault comes in a 2.5-gallon bucket. And it's pourable. It's loose enough that you can rake it in and you overfill it for about an inch. Then you spray it with water to activate the adhesive, and then you tamp it down into place. It hardens within 2 hours. They say you can drive on it almost immediately. I'd wait overnight, but it's very pliable.
How's it look afterwards?
It looks fantastic, and it's a really interesting product. It's actually non-toxic, which is crazy. I mean, you could eat the stuff. It would taste awful, but you could. Aqua Fault, not cheap. It's about $60 for a bucket of this stuff, but it's way better than the patch that you buy
it's
now.
A cool
that
idea.
You can barely move in a bag, and you know, basically, you're it's like the biggest workout of your life to try and get it to work.
What do you think, Bob? Easy. You like it?
Yeah, it sounds great. Can I get that at Ace?
Many Ace stores carry it, and if they don't, they can special order it out of their warehouse.
All right, Bob,
hold on.
Bob is also going to get a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC.
847, Lou, before you go to bed, put your cell phone where the landline used to be. You're welcome.
Well, that was next to my bed.
Oh, the landline was next to your bed?
Yeah.
Hmm. Did you ever wake up in the middle of the night and check and see if you had any text messages on your landline?
No. I really don't like this whole thing. You know what we got to invent? You with me?
I'm listening.
I want to invent a
what was
phone.
That? You with me?
Okay. I want to invent a phone.
Yeah.
Okay. Like we can put a couple, like the old time landline phones, like, you know, the bat phone, that somehow is connected to your cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
But you can leave your cell phone in the kitchen. And so if someone calls you, just calls you, the phone will ring.
I have one. I actually have that.
You do?
Yeah, there's it's a Bluetooth. I can't remember who makes it, but the base unit is a Bluetooth that picks up your mobile phone when it's inside the house and rings to your landline phone.
Really?
So it transfers it.
Yeah, it transfers it basically.
Just the call.
just the phone calls. So you don't hear text messages or anything. So when somebody calls me, it rings on my phone that's next to my...
Here's the weird thing, right? Because you got rid of your landline, and if there was... The thing is, the older you get, the more you think, what if there's an emergency?
Right.
Why
does that happen?
I have no idea. But you go, what if there's an emergency? And if the phone rings at 2 o'clock in the morning, obviously someone's dead. It almost never is that. But that's the first thing that comes to your mind. I don't care how optimistic you are in life. Something horrible's happened. Right. The phone's ringing at 2 a.m. So I automatically assume when I get up in the morning, there's some kind of trouble that I slept through. Even if because I won't sleep with a ringer on. It's such a bizarre process. It's not as crazy as you, Sandberg, with staring at the ceiling.
Right. With a pillow over your head.
With a pillow over your head.
Right.
All right. Wow. So all this water.
A book could be written.
How do you know I'm not already writing it?
Bestseller.
Right.
With all this water, with all this rain, is there anything we ought to do right now? Because it's something we ought to do right now.
Steve, what really is disconcerting about all this is that, okay, it's going to dry out today, tomorrow, and then I saw the forecast. It's coming back next week, more excessive rain. The ground is so saturated. So little things that people can do are things like downspouts and gutters that are probably clogged. And with more rain coming, it would be a smart move to even get extensions on some of those downspouts temporarily. You can buy some pretty large, this kind of black extension drain pipe. It's called elephant trunk. And you could place that on the end of your downspouts and cut a section of it to 3, 4, 5, 6 feet long. And just pull that water away from your home. If you've got standing water currently in the backyard somewhere, spending $100 on a utility pump of some sort to try and get rid of that water more quickly so the ground can dry out before more rain comes would really be a wise decision. And then obviously the sump pumps that you have, if they're working properly, that's great. But make sure that those pits are clear inside there. There's not leaves, debris that could clog the pump. And know that, the PermaSeal folks talk about this in their ads about sump pumps all failing. And it is true. The average life of a sump pump is about 7 years. The switch that actually turns it on and off is good for about 3 years. And so if you're really unclear as to, gosh, I don't know how old this thing is. It's been in there forever. It's a really wise decision to replace that pump now as we have a few days of dry weather before it comes back.
Dave?
I have some standing water at a low point in my yard, Lou, and I was going to just pour a ton of dirt on there and try to raise it. Does it any sense in doing that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, regrading your lawn, if now you can see this is a spot or, maybe it's been a reoccurring theme there. The thing you have to worry about is when you do raise that soil level up and do some regrading and whether you add grass seed, whatever it may be, you don't want that to impact your neighbors. And so you really have to be mindful of how you sculpt that lawn to make sure that it is shedding that water in a proper manner that doesn't affect others.
Actually, I kind of do.
We add this with four lots that come together, like in the corner of our lot. Mm-hmm. And
St. Louis,
the grading. No, this is the summer home, and the grading in one of those homes created a little mini water display,
right
where all those four lots come together. So now everybody's got to move their sump pump discharge lines and a bunch of other things,
right?
But I'm doing it all because I'm handy like that.
It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. So, by the way, I'm glad I brought this up because you wouldn't have given me credit for this, Lou, and I'd like credit for this.
Absolutely.
My daughter bought her first home this spring,
or
this winter, I guess, and her dishwasher wasn't working. Guess who fixed it?
Steve Cochran.
Yeah, you know why?
Why?
Because, Lou, you need to make a note of this, Lou. The dishwasher has a float, and you have to be careful that the float doesn't get stuck, because if the float gets stuck, the dishwasher won't run.
Wait, I'm writing this down.
Write this down.
Dishwasher.
So, went to work on that float, and the dishwasher worked again. So,
So really what you did is you just touched it.
Jiggled it.
Which is the story of your life.
Just jiggled it. It's all part of my new home improvement book. Just right. Jiggle it.
Just jiggle it. Just jiggle it. Chapter 2. Just jiggle it some more.
All right, buddy.
Love you, people.
Love you, bye. And we got to get to the headlines next, 720 WGN.
Woo, noise.
By the way, we have White Sox tickets to give away. We're going to play a little White Sox sounder. Very special little White Sox sounder. Mm-hmm.
Like Chewbacca?
Yeah, similar. But even better than that. So when you hear this, not now, but the next time you hear this and the time after that, be the seventh caller at 312-981-7200. We're giving away at least two pair of tickets today.
Okay.
The next time you hear this.
Cold enough for you?
That's me from Grumpy Old Ben. You want to know why we did that?
Why?
It's Weather Day for the White Sox featuring Tom Skilling.
Oh, that's right.
We're going to give you tickets to that game. Listen for that coming up. And what do we do now after you're done?
I just say that I'm Dave Edit, WGN Sports.
Cold enough for you?
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Some news made with an IPO that went through the roof. If you play the stock market, I hope you invested in Beyond Meat. Because it, pardon me, it opened at 32 bucks or something. And finished today at about 60, 64, somewhere in there. It's like doubled in its first day. Now, in all likelihood, it'll flatten and probably reach its real price, which, I don't know, 45, 50 bucks, in Monday, Tuesday, if not today. But that's a great jump on the first day, and I forgot. I mean, I literally, earlier this week, I said, well, this is cool. I got to jump in on this because I believe in the product. It's like, you know, it's like Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett always says, I only invest in stuff that I believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And he has $50 billion or whatever. I'm the same way, and I have over $1,000 invested in the market right now.
Wow. Yeah. You're living dangerous.
How often do you
like
think
to, I don't like to brag.
Warren Buffett has said, oh, I forgot to get that one. I forgot.
Yeah, probably not that much. So here's the thing. Even though I forgot to invest yesterday, I've had the Impossible Burger from the Beyond Meat company.
What? No.
Or is that from another
company?
That's
a different company.
Oh, it's totally a different company?
Yeah, it's the Beyond Burger. There's the Beyond Burger and the Impossible Burger. And I think I heard Nick saying that the Impossible Burger is the one that, is it Burger King, is doing the Impossible Whopper?
Well, White Castle is selling Impossible Sliders.
Okay.
Right now. So maybe Burger King is too. But does that mean there's Impossible Meat as a company out there that hasn't done their IPO yet?
You can still get in on their IPO. Yeah.
Qdoba Mexican Eats hawks Impossible Meat in their tacos and bowls.
Yeah, Burger King does have the Impossible Whopper.
But they're going to roll that out eventually, they say,
yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
So what's in it? Let's find out if it's healthy. These are the ingredients of an Impossible Burger.
Okay.
Didn't you have one last night, you said?
I had an Impossible Burger at a restaurant last night.
Okay. Not one of those restaurants?
No, Andy had some turkey chili.
Dave ate a hamburger and it wasn't a veggie burger?
No,
it's an Impossible Burger.
It's an Impossible Burger.
What restaurant?
It was a place up in on the North Shore called Fred's.
Okay.
It's a real cute place. Used to be a gas station.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you pay?
Did I pay? Yeah, I paid.
It's ridiculous.
We're not all Steve Cochran, you know?
Oh, I thought expect Fred to pay?
I thought he was implying that you dined and dashed.
No, I don't know. Here's what's in an Impossible Burger. Water.
Okay.
Oh, there's more.
Water's good for you.
Soy, protein concentrate, coconut oil, sunflower oil, natural flavors. 2% or less of potato protein. Also, methyl cellulose, yeast extract, cultured dextrose. I was in a bank called cultured dextrose.
I remember.
food starch modified. Also, soy.
You said soy already.
Hold on. Soy leg hemoglobin. Salt. Soy leg hemoglobin. I don't know what that is. Salt, soy, like I know what the other stuff is. Salt, soy, protein isolate as well. Mixed. Tocopherols.
Hey, is there any soy up in there?
It's vitamin E. There's some soy. Zinc gluconate. Thiamine hydrochloride, that's vitamin B1, sodium ascorbate, also niacin, pyridoxine hydrochloride, riboflavin. Oh, you know what? I love a good riboflavin.
Oh, yeah.
And vitamin B12. Now, the steak you buy from your butcher should have like one ingredient, beef. So all those ingredients seem a little daunting. So my question, Dave, is it healthy? Is it really healthy, or are we buying the hype? Basically, according to the science of this piece that I'm reading from, it's made of soy protein. There's some fat from the coconut and sunflower oil. There's a bunch of binders, so it all sticks together. And they throw in all those vitamins. But it's soy. It's not impossible. It's soy. So it's a soy burger. Impossible Foods will tell you there's nothing to fear when it comes to soy, and that's true. all the way back to the 2000s. A couple of small studies appeared to show that compounds within soy might disrupt your hormones that could lead to a low sperm count or man boobs, but that was only in isolated cases. It's like if you ate a lot of Impossible Burgers and suddenly you went from an A cup to a C cup and your name is Bob, that could be a problem.
Okay, but I used to eat Boca Burgers, which I think were mainly soy.
Yeah. Did you get man boobs?
No.
Okay. Several news outlets have overblown some of the findings of that study. It's a very small study. In fact, men who consumed diets that included soy had a 29% reduced risk of developing prostate cancer, amongst other benefits.
So it might cause, it reduces prostate cancer, but you might get boobs.
Well, yeah, it's a plus minus situation.
Okay. I'm just trying to keep track here.
According to Impossible Foods, 1 4-ounce Impossible Burger contains 240 calories, 19 grams of protein, 9 grams of carbs, 3 grams of which are fiber, and 14 grams of fat. None of it is trans fat. Now, you compare that to a 4-ounce grass-fed beef burger, which is 224 calories, 22 grams of protein, 0 grams of carbohydrate, which means 0 grams of fiber, 14 grams of fat. Some of that's trans fat. So is the Impossible Burger healthy? According to scientists, sure, Is it healthier than a grass-fed burger? No, because there's nothing really all that wrong with an occasional grass-fed burger.
Well, here's the thing, though. You said something key. 4 ounces. That's basically a slider. No one in the world eats 4 ounces. They eat, you know, 10-ounce burgers and eat, that's
quarter
where,
pounders and...
You know what I mean? That the 4 ounces is tiny.
No, you're right.
There's a...
That's an Abigail portion.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. If it takes 10 minutes to read ingredients of anything, I'm not eating it. That means it can't be good for you.
Well, that's why I never read ingredients.
Too much junk in it.
The Beyond Burger also has beets.
Yeah, and that's where the color. The color and also the bleeding of the burger, right. So it makes you feel like you're eating a burger.
Mm-hmm.
They say, look, it all comes down to this. Tofu is good for you in limited quantities, just like everything else. Because if you're only eating tofu, you're missing out on omega-3s and fatty fish. And if you're only eating salmon, you're missing out on the beneficial properties of CLA and well-raised cattle. So mix it up. That's all. Mix it up.
All right.
Kelly and McHenry won the Sox Weather Day tickets. We got more of that coming up.
To all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, to all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions.
It's 6:58. We'd like to thank the 9,000 texters who are informing us that a quarter pounder is 4 ounces.
But here was the point. I'm the one who said, it wasn't Mary, it was me. I'm the one who said, well, when we're talking about a quarter pounder as opposed to 4 ounces, well, apparently it's one and the same. But we were talking about 4 ounces as being a small portion. I don't think of a quarter pounder with everything they heap on a quarter pounder, like at Burger King, as being a small serving.
And the truth is, it's a quarter pounder before cooking. Once they cook it, it's 57 pounds. so I don't know if people know that.
Well, in the quarter pounder, there's cheese and mayonnaise and a whole lot.
I was talking about a quarter pounder.
Yeah.
Oscar, the limo driver, is a tremendous guy and one of our regular listeners. Can you help us, Oscar?
Yes, good morning. The sun is out to start with, and there's no rain.
Okay.
But I was just curious, on this healthy burger, what type of bread is being served on the... Is it what type of bun?
Chocolate.
Well, chocolate? Is it double-dipped with strawberries?
Mint. It's chocolate. I think it's whatever bread you want, right? What kind of bread did you have last night?
It was whatever it came on. It was just a basic hamburger bun, I think.
So you actually ate the bun, though?
Yeah, I did.
Dave had a cookie this week, too, right?
I did have one of the app.
No, it was last cookies. Friday, Oscar, just so you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, so it's a week ago.
Yeah.
When did you stop caring about yourself?
There's
Oscar, thank you, buddy.
My husband doesn't eat the bun on any of his, he decarbs.
You know why?
Because
you scare him.
Yeah.
That's why. It's 7 o'clock in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. That's where Steve Grzanich will be in just moments. Your were just showing off the air this new viral sensation where people throw slices of cheese at babies.
Yeah.
That really hurt. I'm going to have a lump there, you idiot.
It may be the dumbest thing that's ever been done on the internet.
That's right.
64 slices of American cheese.
My respect grew for both of you because, unlike these two dopes over here, you didn't laugh.
Right.
Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
Anybody that finds the baby cheese bit funny? I'm doing a new bit where, while you're at work, I electronically hack and drain your bank account.
Ah, that's
and then see if you cry.
That's very funny.
Yeah.
Have you been up all night eating cheese?
I think I'm blind.
Is that trend over yet?
I think it's died down a little. But now we know Abigail Grace is going to be here today.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking we send Michael to go get some cheese.
You're not throwing Grace at Abigail.
No.
I mean, throwing cheese at Abigail.
I won't throw Grace at her, but...
No, she got plenty of Grace already.
If you remember, we wanted a video of her throwing cheese at your face.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe we should...
She's too nice. She wouldn't do that.
Get some cheese.
Or would she?
I mean, we could all take a crack at it. I really...
What are you 3.5 years old and you're trying to figure out why grown-ups are throwing cheese at pops?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I think that the surface area...
I think we have more
area,
productive ways to spend our time.
The surface area of Steve's head could lead to a very nice slapping noise of the cheese hitting you.
Yeah. Especially if we did a smelly cheese.
Oh. Well, no, yeah. I think it's supposed to be an American slice.
I believe I'm the only one on the show who ever had a bust of my head made out of cheese.
Yeah. So this is like... Oh, what is it? Full circle?
So I've been there, done that.
25 years ago, you had a bust of cheese. Now we're throwing cheese at your face.
Yeah, Minnesota State Fair, where they would take teenage Dairy Queens. I don't mean like Dairy Queen, the ice cream place. I mean, they were Dairy Queens like, you know, like Miss America for farms.
Like Lake County Fair Queen and things.
Yeah, that thing. And they would be in this freezer. I'm making this up. You ever been to the Minnesota State Fair? You've probably seen this.
The girls would be in the freezer?
They'd be in the freezer with the artist, and it's glassed-in freezer, while the artist was carving their bust, not their bust, their bust, which is what, the shoulders up?
Yep.
Out of cheese, out of a block of cheese. So they thought it would be funny. Actually, a block of butter or cheese, I guess. They thought it would be funny to carve my head out of cheese and then have listeners eat the cheese with crackers.
I think... Well,
so as the show went on, my head got smaller.
Do you know what kind of cheese it was?
I think it was cheddar.
Cheddar.
Yeah, you got to have a medium you can work in.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what I would eat first. I might go cheek.
Well, I think most of the good cheese was my forehead.
Your forehead? Yeah.
So they needed a lot of cheese then, right?
They had to send out for extra cheese.
Yeah.
There was a point where they were crafting my head in cheddar, and they called Wisconsin. They said, we're going to need more cheese for staff.
Brought the whole state.
All right, so I think we're all in agreement. We're going to get some cheese.
No.
And we're going to throw it at Steve's head too.
I don't think so.
Well, let's revive that viral sensation.
I don't think it could be a viral sensation if one of the people involved in it has no consent. I don't think, you know,
becomes abuse then.
Why not take cheese and throw it at your sleeping roommate in college or something and videotape that?
Yeah. Well, if somebody wants to bring down a sleeping roommate, I guess we can try to do that. Mm. But in the meantime, you've got a good head for throwing cheese at.
Why don't we buy some cheese and donate it to a food pantry or something? I mean,
that's not that. You know, honestly, that's not funny, Steve. I mean, I understand where you're going with the bit, and there are no bad ideas, but that's not a good bit.
If we did another one of you cheeseheads for your head, Steve, we could make so much money at auctions. We could auction them off.
Yeah, that's a good
big
point.
Big cheeseheads.
As long as we go with an expensive cheese, like a wheel of Gouda.
I bet Orion can hook us up with the state fair. Isn't there always a butter cow down there?
You can make a butterhead.
Oh, hold on. So you're
we can do butter, too.
Which part of this do you think is not going to happen? Me driving to Springfield or me driving to Springfield to have my head carved in butter?
Well, these days, they could probably carve it.
Stick in the freezer.
They could carve it from a FaceTime. You know, you could be on FaceTime.
Yeah, exactly.
They'd probably come up here with like one of those 3D cameras and do a 3D image of your head
you
and then have like a computer build it.
Why don't we just have an app?
I'd love to buy
everybody
it for a
can
party.
Play.
Having Steve at your party.
Cheese and crackers.
Yeah.
What's that?
You can cover it in nuts
Steve
like those cheese balls. Yeah.
What is that fruit company that has like decorative fruit sculptures and things that they sell?
Edible arrangements.
Edible arrangements. Edible Steve.
Edible Steve's, yeah.
Where you just sell various craftings of my head in different food mediums.
Right.
What other could you do?
Spam?
I love it. Steven Crackers.
Steven Crackers. Perfect. It does work. And it, you know, those cheese balls, they cover them in nuts. You know, it used to be popular at parties.
Oh, I don't want any nuts on them.
No nuts
on them. That's like from the 70s.
Why is it that everything you've said this week is something like perfectly crafted for Nick's out of context?
But we could do butter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's cheese, there's
there
butter.
Again.
What other item could be shaped in your head? What other food thing holds
Well, space? As I said, spam, possibly meatloaf. It's got to be something that sticks together.
Yeah, I don't think meatloaf really. Maybe it could be carved out of a giant
Jello.
Jello? But that's wiggly. I don't think it'll hold up.
So am I in some areas.
Yeah, I guess a cake maybe. Somebody could do cake, but you might have to be laying down.
Cake seems like it's been done.
It could be your head laying on on a pillow.
But the fruit cocktail and the Jello, that would work.
Oh, there you go. That's something. Oh, what about ice? Well, ice.
I always hated head cheese. This is technically what we're talking about, isn't it? Head cheese.
Yeah, that'd be Steve's head cheese.
All right, moving on, because I'd like to. Josh Hader had a sore neck, so he tried to stretch it out. Tried to pop it. 28 years old, lives in Guthrie, Oklahoma. You know, slept wrong on his neck. Just bothered him.
This is Josh Hader from the Brewers.
Nope, different Josh Hader.
Okay.
Stretched it out. So, Dave, if you take your hands and put them under your chin and you sort of push your head up, and you push it from side to side, you sort of manipulate your neck.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to do that too quickly. Seems that Josh did it too quickly. He heard a popping sound. Next thing you know, he felt his entire left side go numb. He got up, tried to walk to the freezer to get an ice pack. And he said he couldn't walk any way other than a 45-degree angle to the left. He'd lost his sense of balance. He eventually was able to get to Mercy Hospital in Guthrie, Oklahoma, where Dr. Vince McCallum said that he had a serious stroke caused by cracking his neck. Now, this is an otherwise healthy 28-year-old. There wasn't a predisposition to this or anything. Doctor says when he popped his neck, he tore arteries that go to the bone of the neck, where the neck joins the skull at the base of the brain. Oof. Remember that song? The neck joins the skull at the base of the brain. Remember that song?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And the way he twisted his neck caused a bisection.
Oh, man.
Well, he's lucky he's alive.
Yeah.
Hader's father-in-law took him to the ER, where they administered a drug called TPA to break up clots that had formed immediately. And Hader said that after that, he was transported to the larger Mercy Hospital, an intensive care unit, for 4 days before being sent to inpatient therapy. An arteriogram showed the artery was compromised because of the tear. That's what caused him not to be able to walk straight and fall down.
Ugh.
I mean, it's an awful story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it raises a lot of questions. Can you? What about popping your back, popping your knuckles, popping your, you know... Can you have a stroke that way, too? Because I think a lot of us do a lot of this popping.
I do a lot of popping.
Yeah. I do the neck thing all the time with it back and forth.
Have you ever had your neck popped by a chiropractor?
Yeah. A couple times.
Awful.
Yeah. I
used to have it done all the time.
They shock you. They don't let you know they're going to do it.
But they know what they're doing, though.
Right.
Yeah, but still.
But it is weird.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
They tell you wiggle your toes, and then they... crack your neck.
Well, yeah, because they can't tell you I'm about to crack your neck because you'll stiffen up.
Right.
Yeah.
A listener from the 708 suggesting a Rice Krispie head. I think that's... I like that option.
I like a treat. Yeah, it's perfect. Yeah.
You'd have to put nuts in it, though. Like
you need a lot of marshmallows for that.
Nuts in the Rice Krispies?
Well, not nuts. Peanut M&M's, right?
Rice Krispies. Okay. Yeah, sure.
Possible slogan from the 815, the only good cheese head is a Steve cheese head.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true.
Oh, cookie dough would work, too.
By the way, for those of you who don't care about my cheese head but are still wondering what happened to Josh Hader, says currently he can walk without a walker or cane, but he gets very tired. His balance is still off, but it's coming back. His left side tingles a little and feels heavier, but he's hoping for a recovery. My right side doesn't feel sharp pain or hot cold. I'm good emotionally. It's still a struggle to walk long distances, but it's getting better. He's had to wear an eye patch for several weeks because the nerve was injured, causing weakness, one of the muscles going to his eye. I mean, and here's a bizarre side effect. He has constant hiccups.
That's weird.
He can't stop hiccuping.
Don't you have a, like, my neck cracks sometime on it on its own.
Sure.
Like, so you can't prevent, like you said, Grzanich, my hips crack. You know, you can't prevent all cracking going on.
But I think the body, doesn't the body protect itself from you doing stupid things to the body?
Well, you would think, but in this case, it didn't, did it? And with this, that's what's so scary about this story.
You overrode the systems, and the body couldn't take the stress. So I would advise you not to crack your neck. That's the lesson from today's show. If you choose to, have an eye patch ready. Because, it's a 28-year-old dude.
That's horrible. I feel bad. There's Healthy a texter guy. That said that there was a young woman, same thing happened to her 10 days ago. That was also in the news. So I've never even heard of this.
No, I didn't either. Well, it's not like that's an internet trend.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
Our MVPP not able to join us, so let me tell you the story. Kosha Dills. Kosha Dills, D-I-L-L-Z. A Jewish rapper. Well, Jewish rappers are busy at this hour. A Jewish rapper who spreads positivity through music and promotes the Jewish community across the globe. He wrote a new song called Yom Hashoah. So Many People is the subtitle or the translation in honor of all of his family that is lost in the recent wave of current anti-Semitism across America, including two attacks on synagogues that took the lives of over 14 people and injured many more. A positive Jewish rapper. I mean, that's not something that, you know, comes up every day topically. So we like him. Born Rami Matan Evanesh to Israeli parents, he was a gangbanger and had a change in life that caused him to take the right path instead of the wrong. He has upcoming tour dates and is gaining traction as somebody to keep an eye on musically as well. I mean, he's playing good places, playing the Howard Theater in Washington, D.C., Sony Hall in New York. He's opening for other more established rappers. And he was honored as the Jewish Week's 36 Under 36, an annual list of young visionaries reshaping and broadening the Jewish community. Also mentioned as number 14 on BuzzFeed's list of best Jewish rappers.
The Passover edition. That's what it says.
But at any rate, we're sorry we couldn't speak with him, but I just thought it was a cool story.
It is a cool story. And it is, there's been a lot of attack recently in the news on that community. And so it's so nice to have people that point out how we're all the same, you know?
Right. Doing the right thing.
Yeah.
The texters, meanwhile, continue to chime in on what unfortunately has turned into the topic of the hour. And that is whether or not I should have my head carved in cheese again. Possible slogan from the 815. The only cheese head is Steve's cheese head. I think we talked about that, didn't we?
Yeah.
And
630. If you use fruit on Steve's head, you could call it Headable Arrangements.
That's a strong name.
That is a strong
name. Yeah, that's pretty good for a business.
I was trying to think of a small piece of cheese. I could maybe workshop a little carving of you in. I might be able to do a silhouette in a block of cheese. You know, I could do your, a Hitchcock type.
Oh, it's so flattering.
Well, no, but you know what I mean? Just the outline of it. You know, I could do that, but I don't know if I could do
a Hitchcock, a Homer Simpson.
Yeah. No, I didn't mean because you look. I just meant an outline.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know that I could do details of a face.
920, there's a cheese producer in Wisconsin called Steve's Cheese.
Oh, well, they obviously should make your bust.
So we should probably partner with them.
Yeah.
I don't know Steve's Cheese. Mary Vanderbilt, you're the ambassador from the show to Wisconsin. Do you know Steve's Cheese?
No, I've never heard. Where's it at?
I don't know.
I only know that Cheese Mart.
Mars Cheese?
Yeah, Mars Cheese Castle. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's... Oh, now I want some cheese.
309 Texter says a partnership with Walgreens where you could do a chia, Steve, and cheese would grow out of my head.
Oh. If they could get little nozzles and it could be like that squeezy cheese out of your head.
I think that's what they're talking about.
That would be fun. There used to be a Play-Doh thing that I had that... you put the Play-Doh in and you push the guy.
I remember that.
The barber one, you know?
Yeah, we had that in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, that was fun.
Steve's Cheese is in Denmark, Wisconsin.
Where's that?
I don't know.
I like the 847. They're suggesting a hard-boiled egg for your head.
Working in a hard-boiled egg?
Like that your hard-boiled egg is the head. But that seems... You can't really carve a hard-boiled egg.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that works.
What if we used multiple cheeses? Like, for instance, like a more yellow cheese for the face and then a more whiter cheese for the head?
Well, this time
more
of year,
white or shiny.
This time of year, I'm more tan.
Yeah.
So you'd have to find a cheese that matches that.
You'd have to have the tan line though, because from where you wear the hat, you know, the forehead would have to be white cheese.
And the sunglasses, yeah. Where I have the stripe on the side of my head.
Yeah.
Frank writes, since Steve is being so crotchety about having slices of cheese thrown at him, might I suggest a head made out of spreadable pub cheese? And then he could throw Ritz crackers at it to see if he can get them to stick. It'd be like cracker darts.
I like it.
The reward would be able to eat one of these out of one of the smartest minds in modern day entertainment. Yeah, well, thank you for that.
I like while
it's quite a good visual.
While they're doing your head cheese, futures went up on cheese. Somebody said.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, somebody suggested Mr. Potato Head.
Mr. Cheese Head?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Somebody said it's the world's largest cheese sculpture. It'll automatically be a new tourist attraction. Listen, I'd like to thank all of you. Unfortunately, we're going to run out of cheese time now. We're going to have to move on to other things.
But you're always welcome. Bridget Gaynor has to say about what your head should be sculpted in if cheese isn't good.
She'll join us shortly.
I love the potato head.
I know. Isn't that good?
312-981-7200. Textures or phone calls. By the way, if you want to text about anything other than this, feel free. Your headlines are next at 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
All right, 7:42 now. Steve Cochran Show number 1,366 continues. Just got word Mike Madigan won't be showing up today. Is that accurate? No Mike Madigan? Okay.
No.
Ooh, that is a surprise.
You say the M word on a Friday. You're just trying to switch the subject from people putting your face in cheese.
Yeah, there's still questions about cheese coming in. Honestly, if you guys took half the interest that you have in cheese in my head, in the continuing problems in this country, we'd have them solved by 10 o'clock.
Just to bring you up to speed, Bridget, we've been talking all morning about people carving Steve's bust out of cheese. So that's where we're at today.
And the reason this came up is because of Sandberg's fascination with a terrible internet trend of people throwing sliced cheese at babies.
It's pretty funny.
That's a thing?
Yeah.
That was an internet thing.
Yeah, it's over now, but we're still talking about it.
Wow.
Right.
And then Steve has...
Think how bored that person must have been to think, you know what I'm going to do today? I think I'm going to throw some sliced cheese at a baby.
When stuff like that comes up, you wonder who thought of it first.
Mm-hmm.
Because thousands of people then had to have video posted online of them tossing sliced cheese on a baby's head just to hear the whack, the splat.
Then they did it to their pets. But
right.
The crazy thing is, this is not the first time Steve's had a bust with his bust carved into a head of cheese.
Yes,
or whatever.
The Minnesota State Fair.
Yeah.
Instead of putting me in a dairy princess gown, they had me in the same freezer and carved my head out of cheddar. And then listeners got to line up and eat cheese from my head with the cheddar dip with a cracker.
Doesn't that sound good?
I guess it depends what else is going on that day.
Like anything else?
Like, I mean, you know, what are my other options?
We also tackled that it turns out 4 ounces of meat is a quarter pounder.
Okay, you have to bring
so
that
up. So it's been a really
educational show. Was that a big one?
Show,
that
so
tackle that?
Yeah, we did that. So.
All right, now, we were just talking off the air. You got a couple of communions this week?
Yeah, three first communions, two nephews and a niece.
Are they staggered starts?
No, two are at the same parish and one is up north. So two are at St. Barnabas. One's up at Queen of Angels. We were talking about that. It's two boys, so you're kind of like, all right. But then there's the girl, too. So.
Yeah, and it seems like you and Sandberg both share PCSD, post-communion stress disorder.
We do.
I do. I feel like a little bit of bitterness.
Because, over?
Well, when I made my communion, we lived in Chicago Heights, and most of the girls were Italian, and they had these phenomenal outfits. Veil, tiara, long dress, gloves, purse, rosary.
And you had?
I had a white cotton dress and flowers in my hair and no veil. I wanted a veil so bad. And so we took a picture on my parents' front lawn, and it was me and Gia Campagnola and Vicky Zantera. I remember this to this day. They looked like the infant of Prague next to me, and I looked like I was doing what? I don't know. Doing something regular. I was in a white cotton dress and no veil. I wanted a veil so bad.
And Sandra, you share this need for a veil.
Well, yes, except for I was told every girl wore a... a veil in my first community, even though they weren't all Italian. But my dad he likes to go against the grain, and he said, you don't want to look like everybody else, do you?
But it wasn't his grain. It's your grain.
I know. So I wore a hat that had a blue satin ribbon on it. And it was It was cute. It was very cute. But my sister announced, my sister's a year younger than me, she announced at my communion, I am definitely wearing a veil next year at my communion. Like, she put her foot down.
With the tacit assumption that, like, I'm not digging the hat
right,
at all.
Right, right,
right.
And it's so easy to make a veil. You can make one. I made my daughter's wedding veil.
My mom made my wedding veil. Yeah,
didn't
yeah.
me. It's not that hard. You buy she a comb thing, dress. You sew it on, you put some glitter stuff.
Well, so, my mom doesn't make anything.
So basically, you're taking cheap shots at Bridget and the Sandbridge moms.
yeah, my mom doesn't do stuff, but
we're crafty.
She could have made my veil. I think it's even worse. She could have made my veil and chose not to.
There you go.
And I think that's what it is. And so when my daughters made their communion.
How many sisters do you have?
Four.
Did they have veils?
You could have bought one and passed it on my mom did.
Now that I think about it. Yes, they did. And Nora had moved back to the south side to Beverly, so she wasn't even competing against
the Irish.
Heavy
yes. The Irish kids
and there wasn't
veils.
That many veils. There were fewer veils, and Nora had a veil. So when my own daughters made their communion, I said, I don't care what you want to wear. I mean, it has to be
you're
white.
You're getting a veil.
You can wear a veil. You can have rhinestones on the veil if you want.
Right.
They all
right.
had like wedding train veils because Bridget was overcompensating for not having her own veil.
Yeah, and I'm just realizing I probably made all this worse when I reminded you that your sisters got the veils and you didn't. Yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
My sister was so happy. To the list. I think she kept wearing her veil around, you know, like not just on Communion Day. That veil would come out, you know, and she'd be having
like on a Thursday.
I'd have
just
my
walking
hat,
around the house.
My yeah. little white hat.
There's nothing like a first communion and a christening. Because it's all the people you love, and it's so cute. And
how old were you guys?
Sweet. 7.
Yeah, you're in second grade when you make your communion.
Yeah, let me show you the difference between boys and girls. Dave, can you tell me anything you did at age 7? I mean, these guys remember like it's a photograph from yesterday, or like it happened yesterday.
I think I went on a car trip with my parents somewhere.
You got sick in the back seat?
No, but I was in the back seat.
Right.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
7?
Yeah.
1969-ish? Nothing. I got nothing.
Nothing?
I got nothing.
There was no cheese heads in 1969?
No, I got nothing.
I actually remember my baptism as well because my...
What? Come on!
I do. Well, because when we were born, I told you my
was
dad...
Was it last week or something?
My dad goes against the grain. So they sent us to Catholic school, but they did not baptize us because my dad said we should make the decision if we wanted to be Catholic. That's what he said.
Well, wait. How old were you to get baptized?
In first grade,
you're usually 3 months.
Okay, yeah. Now hold on. I respect the fact that your father said that because those of us who aren't Catholic, of the born again situation, you can get baptized anytime you want. Having said that, how are you equipped to make a decision you want to be Catholic
well,
at the age
theory,
of 6?
In theory, it was a good theory he had.
I agree.
However, when you're going to Catholic school and in first grade they start talking about reconciliation and you're not going to make it with the class, you're like, hey, can I get baptized? So I went ahead and made that decision. So I wore the cutest blue wrap dress. My sister had a red one on. I had a turtleneck on and tights. And I had clogs. And it happened.
How do you remember that?
I remember because they were these clogs.
It was a traditional baptismal clog.
Yes. And it happened on my birthday. So our cake that we got, so it was in January. And the cake was had a diagonal through it that said, happy baptism, Mary and Katie, and happy birthday, Mary. Like it said the same thing on the cake.
Do you remember the barometric pressure that day?
No, but it was January. It was cold. That's why I had a turtleneck under the dress.
847, so my boys are receiving First Communion next Saturday. Veil problems? You ever tried to find suits for 8-year-olds that don't like clothes?
Oh, that don't look like toddler clothes.
Okay, so on that suit thing. So my brother-in-law is from New Jersey. He gets married. He makes his communion in a powder blue suit. They save it. Both my nephews.
They save the powder blue suit.
We need to post this picture.
Yeah,
on the Facebook page.
I'll put it on our social.
Both her sons, my daughter, my sister Maureen, her son Jack is making his communion. I am his godmother, so he gets special mention. But they're both making it in this powder blue suit. It's fantastic.
Oh, the same suit.
Absolute same.
Flip
suit.
That. Let me see it.
Yes.
Oh, that is so... Oh, I didn't even see the picture in the middle.
Yep. That's Eamon in the middle, and then...
Oh, that's hysterical.
His two sons in their powder blue suits.
I'll post this
that's
on
cute.
The Steve
Cochran
show.
Fantastic.
Oh, they even have, like, the same pose with a little... What is that? A little Bible and a
well,
rosary?
Yeah, it is the Bible.
We got a 2-on-9 rubbing it in. You telling me they're working the
it's
Bible?
It's a program for a play.
They're working the
it's
Bible?
A comic book.
They're working the Bible into communion
know,
now?
The show rundown.
Yeah, well, they're trying.
Yeah.
You know.
I like
I don't see it catching on.
Her brother-in-law in New Jersey is pictured in front of a station wagon.
Right. That's how you can tell.
Because a lot of kid pictures used to be taken in front of the car for some reason because you were outside. You know, here's the car.
No, you know why? Because there was light there and your dad didn't want to take much more time.
Yeah.
Hold still. Take the picture.
Good. Wrap it up. Let's go.
Here from the 219. Today is my 60th anniversary of my first communion and I had a veil.
Just rubbing it in.
Okay, can I just say that we are not alone here?
Yeah.
This is obviously a seminal moment.
Yeah.
No. She had a veil.
I know, but she remembers.
And she remembered she had a veil.
Okay.
Fond memory.
60 years later.
I'm just saying you two are the only ones that didn't get a veil.
I bet we're not. I bet if we created a little Facebook page that said, hashtag bitter about no veil, then a lot of people would sign in.
Did you hear Mary? She was just bragging about her beautiful veil. Yeah,
but you know what? I'm sure. I'm number four sister. I'm sure it was passed down. I mean, I'm sure my dress was, too. But
for sure.
Everything.
My daughter wore my cousin's dress. It was so cute. God, I loved it.
I remember one Halloween, we couldn't really afford a costume, so I got hand-me-downs from my brother, and I went as him. It's 7:51. I'll state for the record, I would only allow this on a Friday when I'm too tired to fight it.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show. And we'll never be royal. It's the one in our blood. That kind of love just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler. You can call me Queen Bee. And baby, I'll rule.
Bridget Gaynor just said, wow, we've cracked the seal on this. We really opened it. Really? Women talking about what they're angry about when they were children and what they got left out of?
A lot of those memories are good ones. Mm. It's just remembering back. That was the first time, I think, that you got to dress up in a super special way.
Yeah.
And you remember it.
352. I wanted a veil so badly for my communion. But my school would not let us, and all of us girls wore a headband type of thing with fresh daisies. To this day, I feel cheated.
You know what? I think this is the thing. This is way bigger thing than throwing cheese in a baby's head.
This is all I'm saying. This is bigger than the Attorney General lying to Congress. 847, I wore a white dress with daisies on it with a crown of daisies, no veil. I chose this because I didn't want to look like everybody else. Sandberg, did you text yourself?
I know, right? They must have Dick Sandberg as their father. You don't want to be a sheep. That's what he always told me. Don't be a sheep.
And
maybe I just like the veil.
I know, right?
Mary's on the phone. Hi, Mary.
Hey, good morning.
Do you have PCSD, post-communion stress disorder?
No, but as the ladies mentioned, these are all good memories.
Yeah.
But one of the best things about your first communion is typically they're on a Saturday, and the next day, Sunday, you get to wear your white dress to church.
Exactly.
And so at my first communion party, which I remember every single detail of this, my dad said, you get to sleep over at grandma's house tonight, which was very rare. And at first I was super excited, but then I thought, well, no one's going to see me in my dress. He goes, you can wear your dress. So I bring it over the next Sunday. The next day we go to church, and her parish, all the girls made their first communion 2 weeks earlier. So there I was, in the only one in a white dress, in a parish I did not know, but needless to say, my grandma was very proud, and everyone wanted to come up and congratulate me.
Oh,
but it's not just the Saturday, it's the thing that happens the next day.
Well, and let's also discuss the fact, it's the first time people, you know, you get money. I got $57,
I
opened a bank account, and that was the first time I got a bank account, and people joke now when they talk about someone being cheap, they're like, yeah, he still has his first communion money. Yeah. So
and that's where that comes from.
One other last point is in our second grade classroom, our teacher on the chalkboard had a countdown after 45 days. And every day someone got to make 45, 44, 44 to 43, so forth. And needless to say, May 3rd, 1982 was the day I made my first communion. Every day I wake up and it's like, today's May 3rd.
And, is this your anniversary?
It's your anniversary.
There you go.
Why do we need calendars? Why do we need calendars when we have females? I mean, you guys remember everything.
Yeah, that's...
It's unbelievable. Thank you, Mary.
I remember everything. I got my Aunt Betty made me macaroons. It's the first macaroon I ever ate was on my first communion party.
You're not your Aunt Becky.
Cash. No,
Aunt Betty. Aunt Betty.
Yeah.
Aunt Becky's the one who tried to get you into USC on the crew team.
And that's so when your room got decked out in a lot of crosses and little figurines.
For those of you who missed the first 2 hours of the show... So far, what we've covered is cheese and veils. That's been the first 2 hours of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 1968, Texter writes, we ordered the veils from school. We have the same veil. I still have mine.
Oh. 219, still remember, first communion, May 11th, 1958 in a heart that everyone remembers their first communion.
Ah, sweet memories. I have trouble remembering yesterday's show. Coming up, Stories of Battle with Steve Grzanich, Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. 6 years ago, I made my first communion on Halloween. I was planning to go trick-or-treating as a bride so I could wear the veil. The nuns told us we couldn't go trick-or-treating. To this day, I feel cheated. 6 years ago, I got to make my first communion 2 times in 1 day. I went to a Catholic school, but it was different from our own parish, so I had to get special permission from the bishop to be able to have communion 2x in 1 day. You communion hog, communion cheater. All of my memories as a kid center around 2 things, sports or dysfunction. Those are the two things. Those are the 2 things I remember. I don't have any veil stories. It would be odd if I did. 708, I'm 80, and I still have my veil, and my daughter made her first communion using it. Isn't that nice?
It's sweet story. Nice. But you could have had a veil, and it could have been part of your dysfunction. So there, it could have worked its way
I in. I do remember a clip-on tie at one point. I don't remember what it was for, but I remember a blue clip-on tie. That's the entire memory of fashion for me from 0 to 18.
See, I remember my first communion for sure, but then I remember like the first time you went to a wedding to the reception. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I remember picking out that outfit and like laying it out, and my sister and I both went, and we thought we were all that in a bag of shit. My mom made a ton of our clothes. She's incredibly talented that way. And since there's the 5 girls, we often were in, you know, there was some matching stuff going on.
Oh, but yeah.
I remember those first big days, and I was trying to, when my kids went to their first wedding, I was way more excited almost for them than they were. I thought the first time I went to a wedding reception, I thought it was the most fun I ever had in my whole life.
Well, because a lot of times you went to the church and then you were sent home.
Of course.
And didn't get to, so when
or,
you, when
or
you
like
first
me, to babysit
them.
For other people's kids.
Yes.
So now we got to go.
That was a big deal.
You know, Dave and I call each other every night to find out what we're wearing the next day just so we don't clash.
Well,
so,
I mean, you guys are matching today. I appreciate that. Yeah. That's good. Well, that's good.
And what Mary coined Steve's outfit is a little golf vest.
She goes, oh, look at you in your little golf vest. It's like she's patting my head from the newsroom to the studio.
Oh, this poor person at the 847. I made my communion in 7th grade with my brother, who is 5 years younger than me. I was like twice the size of all the other kids. The 8th graders on the bus that went to church made fun of me.
So parents have no idea how they're damaging their children.
I mean, it's something you really should take seriously.
Yeah. You know, and especially now, because we aren't easy enough and careful enough with our children. We need to find more ways to soften the blow for them.
We do. That bubble that you're constructing needs to be even bigger.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah.
All right, time now for Moron Entertainment. The special guest star, Bridget Gaynor, is not even close to moron status.
Well, I mean, I hope not.
Give us about 10 minutes. You'll be in.
Dean, we were talking, of course, about cheese and communions this morning. And I was told, I'm sure you remember yours.
Cheese and communions?
Not the cheese, the communion part.
Your first communion.
Well, I was actually, I didn't go through like a first communion.
How about a second or a third?
Traditional. I was actually not baptized until I was 16 years old.
Oh, okay.
So you know
like
that
me, a delayed baptism.
A delayed baptism. You know that scene in the movie?
Did you also wear clogs?
No. That scene in the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding where they have him in a swimming pool.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a little bathing suit. I was an awkward 16 years old in a wash tub.
But I'm telling you, that is not even remotely unusual for a non-denominational churchgoer like myself. We baptize people of all ages all the time. We have a drive-thru.
Hmm.
You just lean out of the car.
What'd you wear in the wash tub, Dean?
Swimming trunks.
Oh, okay.
Not awkward at all for a pimply-faced teenage boy in front of his whole family.
Do they hand you a towel afterwards?
Well, yes. It's they're like fresh linens and things, that because now I'm cleansed of sin. So
my church literally has post-baptism clothes. Like, you come in and you want to be baptized at Community Christian Church, Big Yellow Box, and you want to be baptized, and you go, well, I didn't bring anything. I'm not ready. We got a uniform for you. We got gym shorts. We got T-shirts. We got stuff for the girls. We got the underpants. We got whatever you need.
Wow.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
There is nothing that's going to get in the way.
No, if it's time, it's time.
Because it's symbolic, right?
Yes.
I mean, it has to be, I don't know if it's blessed exactly, but I know that the clothing that I wore after my baptism, and they rub water and oil all over you, so you're like all oily.
This is only getting better.
What? Well,
no, I've been to a Greek baptism. Now, why weren't you baptized as a baby?
Because my parents were of different religions when I was little.
Oh,
so
okay.
And they hadn't agreed yet.
Yeah.
Did your brothers get dunked in the tank as teenagers?
My two older brothers were baptized when they were babies.
Wait, are you insinuating there's a dunk tank at Greek baptisms? Like you throw baseballs at a paddle?
That would have been much
like
more
at the
entertaining.
St. Andrews Festival, right up on Sheridan Road, yeah. They do that.
I know the beauty of the symbolism, and you're an awkward teenage boy, and it's couldn't have been more embarrassing.
Yeah, that seems hard.
So, in other words, it worked really well for you.
Yeah, I wasted no time. Whatever sin was erased that day, I wasted no time filling up my card again.
Oh, he's got PCSD for sure.
No question. That's post-communion stress disorder.
Yeah.
This person says they don't have any veil issues, but they're still mad that they never had a big wheel.
So that would be post big wheel stress disorder.
Yeah, that's for next week. Yeah.
Right,
that's
different topic.
Is that part of the traditional first communion confirmation?
riding a big wheel up there. Savings bond, some crosses,
right?
Maybe like a jewelry and a figurine of Jesus and the Blessed Mother.
Yeah, so, savings
and a big
bonds
wheel.
Were big.
And a big wheel.
Yeah.
Chewbacca, Kelly Clarkson, August Rush, West Side Story, other reviews. Seth Rogen and Charlize Theron have a new movie out. Which, by the way. It's called The Long Shot. It's about a guy that's not that attractive ending up with an extremely attractive, extremely successful woman.
Relatable in any way to you, Steve?
Yes. Completely. You met my wife.
I will.
The promos look really funny of that. We saw one during the hockey game last.
And I think Dean will like it, but I'm not sure.
It's a good movie.
And a Dennis Quaid movie that's not a commercial. You know, those Dennis Quaid commercials are pretty good. For
commercials can sometimes
the dog's purpose.
No, the insurance commercial.
Oh.
Doesn't he look good. Very skinny?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's almost starting to look age appropriate. You know, Robert Redford went from the
age
Sting.
Appropriate for what?
Well, like, you know, he didn't look like he was faking it anymore.
Yeah.
Like Robert Redford went from Sting handsome to guy that sat in the sun way too long. You know, and I feel like Dennis Quaid is getting there. He's getting there.
They're both doing okay, though.
Dean, were you on
a... cut him some slack. He was married to Meg Ryan for some years, so that's enough to throw
Meg
anybody.
Meg Ryan, the rudest celebrity Dean has ever encountered.
One of the top three. Top three, definitely.
Top three.
Hey, Dean, were you on with Bill and Wendy yesterday? Or okay, I heard him review that movie, The Neighbor... What's it called?
Intruder.
The Intruder.
That's the Dennis Quaid movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what he said. Because he said he played, you know, and he... Dean called it a white knuckler. But he goes, it's your average white knuckler.
Yeah.
Just an average.
So sort of an average scare.
Sort of a pink knuckler.
Yeah. The commercials are scaring the heck
out
of me.
So. It's off-white knuckler. It's not. It wants to be a white knuckler.
We'll get details on that coming up. And also we want to say break a leg to our friend Dennis DeYoung. Dennis DeYoung is doing a concert tonight. Where is it? Rosemont Theater? Or the
Give me 1 second. I can tell you exactly. I believe it is the Rosemont Theater.
And I don't know if there's any tickets left, but if there is, you should get them immediately.
Dennis can get you some.
Yeah, Dennis, you have the hotline number. Dennis, just call in if you want.
In a few minutes, we'll give you Dennis's home phone number, and you can just call him.
And by the way, if we give you his home number and you call, he'll pick it up. If he sees it's me on caller ID,
or
not
me.
A chance.
Yeah, no way. It's the Rosemont Theater tomorrow. He's at the Rosemont.
Oh, it's tomorrow?
Tomorrow night.
Oh, I thought it was today.
You've had a date issue.
Today's the third.
Today's the third, yeah.
Is the concert the fourth?
Cinco de Trio.
I don't know what you just said. May 3rd would be tonight.
Right.
Right, but that's not the concert.
No, but you're saying it is the concert, Dean, or it's not?
I'm saying it's tomorrow night. That's what I've been saying all morning. I hope that's right.
Well, but if it's May 3rd, it's tonight. If it's May 4th, it's tomorrow night. We're going to get our best people on this and get you an answer.
And I'll tell you in a second.
He's going to be in Wabash, Indiana tonight. So if you want to go to Wabash, Indiana, you
Who
can
wouldn't?
See Dennis DeYoung.
Who wouldn't?
Oh, the concert's tomorrow night, then. I wish Dean had said that.
That's what I just said.
820. We'll come back and do more in a second. So 312-981-7200 is the number. If you need to text us, call us, or just call and threaten us.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 9720.
Dean, breaking entertainment news. The Dennis DeYoung concert's tomorrow night.
I can't make it. I'm going to the Dennis DeYoung concert tomorrow in Rosemont.
Okay.
The funny thing is, Dean, is we had Paul Reiser on this week, and Steve said, your show's on Saturday. I can't go because I'm busy. And he's like, well, my show's on Friday, so you can go.
Yeah, and you know me. I want to be invited to everything, but I don't want to go. It's the 7 a.m., 7 p.m. thing.
We just throw names out. You all can find the times and dates on your own. You know, Paul Reiser canceled on us this morning.
He canceled what?
Yeah, he's on our list now.
He's a personal show business friend.
So he and Meg Ryan are like, where does he fall now with Meg Ryan?
Well, here's the thing.
No, Meg Ryan is still higher. He claims that his flight was delayed getting in. He didn't get in until very early this morning, so he would be too tired to come on our show.
Oh, that's weird. Well, I'm going to talk to him tonight. I'm going to tell him you're very upset.
Yeah, very, very upset.
I'm taking my mother tonight.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I was going to take your mom, but she didn't return the call.
She's going to Dennis DeYoung tomorrow. She's getting ready.
You sure it's tomorrow? All right. The actor that played Chewbacca, Peter Mayhew, and Stand By Sandberg for your Chewbacca impression.
Ooh, noise.
That's a good noise. It's a good noise to make if you're able to do it.
It's the worst Chewbacca impression ever.
He was a very sweet, very, very nice man. Everybody that worked with him is praising him of what a kind, gentle soul he was. 7'3", Peter Mayhew, apparently died last Tuesday. They only just now released the information. But he played the giant Wookiee Chewbacca in every Star Wars movie from the beginning in 1977 until through The Force Awakens in 2015.
That wasn't Sandberg.
Excuse me.
That was the actual Chewbacca.
Pardon me.
All right, so here's the thing. I've asked this and nobody seems to know. Did he loop that voice, that sound as well, or was he just the guy in the costume?
I understand that he did the voice.
Okay.
And it wasn't recorded looped that he actually did the noise. The new
from
actor,
inside the suit?
Well, you know, with microphones and stuff like that.
Okay.
Woo, noise.
The new guy who has taken over the role, Junos, I can't remember his last name, but he's also like 7 feet tall and super nice guy. We've had him on the show a couple of times. If you talk to him, he'll have a whole conversation in Wookiee voice.
I don't think we need that,
do we? Want that? Who wants that?
Doesn't seem like a bonus.
It's going to be part of Dennis DeYoung's show tomorrow at Rosemont, if you want to check it out.
The new Chewbacca is opening for Dennis?
They have not released a cause of death, but he had last year underwent spinal surgery to help out his mobility. And he was at that Star Wars celebration that was just here about a month ago.
Oh, is that right?
He was part of that and did some autograph sessions. So, but everybody, Harrison Ford, Mark Hamill, Billy Dee Williams, George Lucas, everybody is on Twitter this morning and just saying what a wonderful, gentle man Peter Mayhew was.
It was a scary story. What happened to Kelly Clarkson?
Kelly Clarkson, after she did the Billboard Music Awards the other night, was rushed.
And killed it, as always.
And killed it, and it almost killed her. Was rushed to the hospital for emergency appendectomy surgery.
Wow.
She was, during that performance,
she wasn't feeling good, right?
The whole thing, she wasn't feeling well. And, appendectomy can be very painful.
Burst appendix is very dangerous.
Very, very dangerous. So she was rushed to the hospital and had an emergency appendectomy.
Anybody on the show still have their appendix? Which I don't have mine.
I do.
I have an appendix.
You guys all have your appendix?
Yep.
Your appendice? You all have those?
That would be plural. I think you only have one.
I had mine removed when I was 8, right after my communion.
I don't know if I've had mine or not.
You don't know, Dean?
Can I check right now?
Is anybody else missing an organ? Do you have a scar, Dean?
I do have scars, but I don't...
You don't know if they're up there.
Where would it be?
Dean, we're not talking about emotional scars. We're talking about physical scars.
We'll get plenty of those.
Where's your appendix scars?
It'd be low right.
Low right.
Nope.
Lower abdomen.
I still have mine.
And I saved my appendix, and we're going to give it away to the 7th caller in about 10 minutes.
Interestingly, when they took my tonsils out, they did go lower stomach.
just to make you remember it?
Yeah.
Could you do like an appendectomy tummy tuck at the same time? I mean, do you think that's really what Kelly Clarkson was doing? She's like, oh, it's an emergency. Wait, as long as you're there.
Oh. Yeah, you know what? That's very Hollywood, wouldn't it be?
That's what I would do.
Yeah. I think if you have an emergency appendectomy, it can get pretty nasty.
Yeah. What about an emergency tummy tuck? I've got a party tonight.
As long as you're in there.
What's this podcast story?
We have this podcast that two of the producers on the TV morning show put together, Ross McAbee and Brian Say, and they've been interviewing all the people here at WGN over the past, well, probably for about a year. They sit down and talk to the person for like an hour, and they just completed a podcast with me. Talking about growing up in Chicago, talking about coming here to WGN when I was 10 years old as a little boy to go to the Bozo show when my obsession started, talking about the day that Larry Potash shaved me. That was that's a good story.
That was just prior to surgery.
Yeah, it's just something we like to do when the show's over. It's called the world's greatest newspaper television podcast.
Okay,
and
great name, by the way.
Wherever you get podcasts, I'm featured.
All right, now Monday, Ross Cochran is going to interview me. Part two of the Ross Cochran interviews me. Isn't it Monday?
I think he told me he's not available. Hang on.
All right, so we'll reschedule that. Ross, by the way, standing by in the PPG Paints green room. He's coming up to talk about foster care in a little bit.
I just saw him tweeting about that, a new position that he's taking.
Yeah, very exciting.
That sounds great.
Noise.
So, Dean, based on your appearance on this podcast, does that mean you're not going to do my podcast
now? No, I want to do your podcast, okay, too. I want to do as many podcasts as possible.
Right.
Because you can't possibly hear my boring stories enough.
Helpful texter from the 815, the Chewbacca growl was created by the sound editor using a combination of various animal sounds. There's videos on YouTube of them filming some scenes in the original Star Wars pre-dubbing in which Mayhew voices and Chewbacca's lips move. Met Mayhew twice. Great man, nice man. So there you go. Well, you got to oil that door. Couple of movie reviews. Show reviews. August Rush.
August Rush, the musical, is going to be world premiering at the Paramount Theater tonight. So I'll see you tonight. I'll tell you about it on Sunday morning. Also, West Side Story is going to premiere tonight at the Lyric Opera tonight. So we'll have those reviews coming up. But four reviews today, though. We've got the new Seth Rogen, Charlize Theron movie that's called Long Shot. It's a delightful romantic comedy, complete original. It's a political comedy. It is a raunchy, drug-filled sex comedy. I know you find that hard to believe with Seth Rogen involved.
Usually I'm in those.
In it. There's one scene in particular that everyone is talking about that will remind you of maybe the most famous gross-out scene in the movie, There's Something About Mary.
Yeah, this is the hotel room scene?
Yes.
The hair gel? Yeah.
Yes.
It's not hair gel.
It's a really funny movie, and Charlize Theron and Seth Rogen have surprising chemistry. I didn't think that I was going to like this movie, and I wound up laughing quite a bit. She's Secretary of State of the United States. He's a reporter who at one time she babysat for him when he was little. And he goes to work for her to try to help her shake up her campaign for
presidency. Wait, we're supposed to buy that she... I mean, I know she is older, but we're supposed to buy that she's older than
that
Seth
Rogen? That she babysat? Well, it's, you know...
You only need to be 5 or 6 years older.
I think that's what she is, too, because she's 43. She's the same age as me, and I think he's 37. So yeah. They could have been babysitters.
Yeah. There's things you don't need in that.
Funny movie, though. If you want an alternative, Avengers is going to kill the weekend again this weekend. Sure. But if you want an alternative, that's there. I was disappointed in The Intruders. This Dennis Quaid movie with Megan Good and Michael Ealy, young couple buy a house that a guy lived in his whole life. They think it's kind of cute when the guy still keeps showing up at the house and he's cutting the grass, and they think, you know, he just can't let go of his memories at the house. But then it starts to get a little creepy. But you've seen this story and this premise before. The movie really doesn't break any new ground. The performances are good. Dennis Quaid is an excellent weirdo, scary guy. He's like getting very close to John Malkovich status with that. But the movie is still just a Dean's List C. B-plus on the Seth Rogen, Charlize Theron movie, by the way.
And we got texters said there's some controversy with Sonic the Hedgehog. What is that?
About the way that they released a trailer, and some people are freaking out. They don't like the way that the image of Sonic the Hedgehog looks.
Okay, that's what's troubling people?
That's what's troubling people.
Okay.
I just want to know, is the Palm movie out this weekend?
No, that's out, I believe that's next weekend.
I can't wait for
the
that.
Cheerleader movie.
Yeah. So does Jasmine, awesome. Bill and Wendy's producer, can't wait for that one.
May 10th. May 10th, that's coming out.
I do most of the cheerleader stunts in that movie.
Woo, noise.
You should see Steve and I. We developed for that movie. It's a special promotion that we're doing where we're going to do one of those cheerleader pyramids.
Yeah.
But it's just the two of us.
Right.
Are you
right,
guys the
right.
flyers?
Yeah. No, we're more the guys on the ground.
Right.
Yeah, that have trouble getting up.
I'm going to toss you guys.
Dennis DeYoung, the Grand Illusion 40th Anniversary Album Tour.
When is that?
Tomorrow night at the Rosemont Theater in Rosemont,
I'm
Illinois.
Busy. I can't make it.
Go to DennisDeYoung.com.
I'm going to be in Rosemont tomorrow, the Rosemont Theater tomorrow night. I can't make it.
Is Dennis DeYoung show?
That's what I hear. That's what I'm hearing. Thank you, Dean.
See ya.
That's Dean Richards. He'll be on Sunday, I assume. I should have asked, but let's assume. Let's all
assume
together.
We also got some First Communion talk after we get back.
Oh, good Lord. It's and Michael Heidemann with his crap on the internet coming up. What are we doing? Headlines next, 720 WGN.
Get start business as strange as they can be. Stupid, silly product on Amazon and QVC. Heidemann does the research, finding things you didn't know. A service you get only on the Steve Cochran Show.
How about that? Michael Heidemann's here. Before we get to crap Michael found on the internet, a feature that seems perfectly fit for the rest of today's show. In our last few minutes of Bridget Gaynor today, can we do this as the final word on communion for right now?
Ooh, I guess I can commit
it's okay to have the final
word. Well, I'm sorry. One more time, Bridget.
Go ahead, Bridget.
I think it's okay to have the final word.
Okay, this is the final word. My mother has sent me my first communion photos along with my sister's first communion photos.
You showed those to me, and it does appear that your sister was trying to steal your thunder.
Yes, at my first communion, she is photographed with me wearing a white dress and white gloves. She's a year younger. I'm the one making my communion. I'm in a hat, of course. And then her first communion, she's got the veil.
But I'm glad you're not bitter about the favoritism of your parents with your sister.
You totally let it go.
The funny thing is she thinks I'm the favorite. But then there's the group shot of me and the priest, and I'm the only one in a hat, and all the girls are in veils.
Bridget Gaynor, who is your mom's favorite? Depended on the week?
You know what my mom is good at? She
made you all think you were special.
All of us think we're her favorite.
Okay.
You know, my aunt used to joke about my grandma. She says, your grandma has 10 kids, and each one thinks that she loves them the best, and I have two, and each one's convinced I love the other more.
Oh, that's so funny.
It's pretty well balanced.
I know that I'm the favorite, but I always tell my sister, it's exhausting being the favorite. They come to you for everything. So it's almost better to not be the favorite because you get to take a step back. You're not involved in...
I'm the favorite. It bothers my sisters greatly, and my mother or I. We really don't care all that much. Yeah, all that much. All right, now, Michael, stand by. We're going to get to Michael, the crap that Michael found on the internet or whatever else I named it in just a second. But, Bridget, before we run out of time with you, coming up after 9, the Let It Be Us folks will be here. Ross Cochran will be here. We're going to be talking about foster care. You told me a story off the air, and I can't remember if we ever told this on the air, but this is one of your first jobs?
It was my very first job. Yeah, I moved to New York. I was a Jesuit volunteer, lived in a, you know, like a lay religious community, and I was trained as an organizer, but part of the agency, we had a caseload of kids that were at risk at foster care. And, of course, I look back now and I think, oh, my God, I'm 21 years old. No training. You know, so if they were truant or bad things were going on inside their house, they would have to go to foster care.
And you're training for what at this point?
I was, as an organizer, I wasn't training to be anything to do with
but they
with
needed
childcare.
Bodies.
They needed bodies. We worked, they had an after school program, and they were supervised. I mean, there was people who knew what they were doing, but it was a pretty overwhelming thing at my age when I had, you know, my childcare experience had been basically limited to babysitting.
And you did it until you took one girl to a place that she was supposed to be left at, right?
So there was this family and, the situation at home was terrible, and so they decided to put the kids in foster care. I mean, that wasn't my decision. It was someone who knew what they were doing, and my job was to take her up to this in-house foster care. So we take the train up, we go up, it's in the Bronx, and we get there. And I remember thinking to myself, oh my God, you know, the place is hot, it's dark, there's all these kids running around, and she's petrified, and I'm petrified. And I thought to myself, this is terrible. It was really, really scary. And, you know, maybe it ended up fine, but, you know, when I read Kristen McQuarrie's editorial the other day about AJ.
Yeah, well done, by the way.
Well done. And about AJ and the fact that this isn't some problem that none of us have the ability to weigh in on. And I thought to myself at that time, you know, when I'm older, being a place where someone can land in an emergency, a kid, even if it's a week or 2 weeks, that you're providing a safe and stable home, it's an incredible thing to do. And I thought, I really liked that she called out the ability of lots of people to do it. And then I remember that your son does this exact thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And Let It Be Us is a great organization because they try to be the go-between.
Yeah.
To hook everybody up. So.
Right. I think it's incredible. You get trained. I mean, it's, you know, it's not nothing training. It's probably 40 hours of training. But God, to think of the most terrifying moment of a kid's life and you have the ability to be a safe landing.
Can you imagine if you had stayed in that field?
Oh, no.
I mean, the stress level is incredible.
I know. I give people a ton of credit. It's amazing. But you look and think of what young kids have to handle at points of their life, and it's amazing they survive to be adults.
Find out more about Let It Be Us coming up after 9 o'clock. Right in the middle of that conversation, I'm sure you noticed that Maureen and Abigail Grace came in. I don't think you've met Abigail Grace.
I had not yet met Abigail
Grace. Say hi to Bridget, ladies.
Hi.
Hi, sweetheart.
Yeah. Yep. You were talking to Abigail or to Maureen?
Well, both. Yeah, really. Or to you.
Yeah, I either mean, one. That yeah. You hit them all.
Sweetheart. We just talked about remembering people's names. See, if you call people honey, sweetheart,
right.
Gail.
Yeah. Hey!
But you do it enough, then they don't think that you don't know their name.
Hey, how's your family?
What are you working on?
You know what Ernie Banks used to do in that regard? Because people come up to Ernie Banks all the time, and he didn't want to ever make people feel like you forgot him.
Mm-hmm.
And Ernie Banks met a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
He would look at him and go, how's your sister? You don't know if they have a sister or not, so it throws you off a bunch of different ways, and suddenly it's not awkward anymore.
There you go.
Cookie, the listener, says, kudos to Bridget on Let It Be Us and the story that you just told. So,
thank you.
We're going to go from here to, in the world of awkward transitions, to Michael's crap he found on the internet in just a second.
Clearly.
So you can either end with that or get out while your reputation's intact. Bridget Gaynor
is here.
Or
at least what is left of it is intact.
Silly product on Amazon and QVC. Heidemann does the research, finding things you didn't know. A service you get only on the Steve Cochran Show.
Again, we break this down in two ways. Amazon, because on my theory is you can buy anything on Amazon. Mm-hmm. Anything. And we found out a couple weeks ago you could buy a finger. Like a human finger.
Mm-hmm.
But also, there are all these crowdfunding projects. And you find those, too. So let's start with Amazon. What'd you find?
Oh, man. You know, I'm starting to think that Jeff Bezos should sponsor this segment because of all the great promotions we give
him. It's a good point because he wouldn't have a dime without this segment.
You know, it's very, very true.
Yeah.
And we start off today with one of my favorite things I think I found on Amazon. It's, in fact, the Nick Cage sequined reversible flip pillow.
So this is a pillowcase
mm-hmm.
with Nick Cage, and if you rub your hand over the sequins, the color changes?
Yes, the color changes. So think of it as a pillow. You're resting on your bed or something.
And it gets a little boring.
It gets a little boring, and you're sitting on the sequins, and then all of a sudden your face moves a little bit, or you just, you know, brush your hand across it, and then all of a sudden it turns into a full-on portrait of Nick Cage.
Oh, I see. So the sequins actually cover Nick Cage until you run your hands over them.
Yes. You know, he was famously in the movie Face Off, so now
perfect.
You can literally take his face
how much?
Off. It's only, I think it's $22 on
$22.
Amazon.
The thing about this pillow is those are hot right now. Like these sequin pillows that you can flip the sequins on.
Yeah, Abigail has shirts that have that
stuff. Yeah, so yeah. This is a hot item.
I point it outside because Abigail's here.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. No,
would
the
it,
listeners
birthday gift.
That.
Will it fit my pillow?
They're working on it right now in test labs.
Yeah, Mike Lindell actually said he wanted to get one of these.
Look at you dropping the Mike Lindell. All right, what's a gotta-go pouch?
So, festival season is coming up. Steve, Lollapalooza, Riot Fest, Pitchfork, and this is the perfect pouch and or poncho if you gotta go, but you can't wait for those long lines in the bathroom.
It's a pouch you can pee in?
Yes. Pee number one, number two, even number three.
On.
Whatever you need to do.
Come on.
Yeah, and the best part is unisex, so you can wear it, and it just looks like a normal poncho that you have on, and then to easily dispose it. And this goes for the asking price of only $20.
Listen, I've been at a festival like that before with the lines a mile long, and I seriously thought about using something like this. I would have used it.
Let me tell you something right now.
I'll give you $20 if you never tell me that story again.
I'm just saying. You know what?
There's a market.
Yeah, it comes with cloth wipes, too.
Yeah.
So
yeah, no, I saw that part. Thanks.
Where do you dump the... Can we keep talking about this?
No, we can't, actually. What's the daddle saddle?
So it's the daddy saddle, in fact. And oh, it is the daddle saddle.
Yeah.
The daddle saddle.
Great service.
By the way, it's not my first day.
I feel like the daddy saddle might be something else.
Yes. That's for mommy. Mommy gets the daddy saddle.
The daddle saddle is perfect for your little one. You know, Abigail Grace is here.
Uh-huh.
Maybe we can bring this up to her. It's a saddle that you can put on dad's back and ride around the room.
So you can play horsey.
Yeah, you can play horsey.
That's fun.
But just so you know, Steve, a runner review did make mention, this is only for Western style. It's not for the English father training method, which where you hold a rein in the hand and do post-trots. So just needed to keep that in the forefront.
Now, 4 out of 5 stars by some reviewers, $39.98 and free shipping.
That's right. That's right.
Is there any risk of the saddle perhaps giving you a stroke if it like pops your back?
Oh, see, we talked about that earlier when you pop your neck.
Really good point. You know, the only warning that they give is don't wear spurs for your children.
That's probably seems good. Right. Mm-hmm. The original all natural cat wine.
So this is kind of
like Moscato. This is Moscato.
This is Moscato. Yes. I'm sorry about my Chicago accent. Moscato.
It's
kind of for the more Gold Coasty crowd, perhaps more hipster areas like Kish. Okay. But it's a
and this is something your cat can drink.
Your cat can drink it, so it's for those lonely nights when you're drinking wine alone and you just want to have a partner. You can pour a little glass.
The cat
is knock him out.
The cat is so moody anyway. Why would you want to have it be drunk?
Well, it's catnip, and I don't have a cat, so I'm guessing catnip makes the cat a little bit more excitable and more friendly.
Yeah,
I'm not sure,
it makes them high, is what.
So the cat runs out of the room even faster,
or they might like play with a ball a little faster.
Mm. I think it's a terrible idea. The senior lady with toothbrush, peel and stick wall decal.
Man, Michael's hot on these.
We had the old couple, what was it, in the park, or were they riding a bike?
When they sang
in
on
the golf
bench?
Cart.
Oh, golf cart.
Old couple in a golf cart. This is a perfect full-on wall decal for your college dorm room.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an old lady brushing her teeth. How much?
So this one is $21.96 with free shipping, in fact.
Oh.
And the greatest thing is we have a great review from Lori McCotter who gave it 5 out of 5 stars. It just made me happy to be alive.
I'm just wondering if maybe like an old guy puts this up in his room at the nursing home. Otherwise, I don't see the application.
Oh, my God. This next one is fantastic.
All right. Now, is this crowdfunding or is this more Amazon?
So I thought we could expand the segment a little bit. And this is actually an Airbnb that you can go to.
It's called the Big Idaho Potato Hotel.
Yes, it is. Steve, I know you do a lot of traveling.
Yes.
I know there's a lot of traveling for Dave, too, with the Northwestern Games. Well, how would you like to go to Boise, Idaho and stay in a giant potato?
So stupid. So this is a potato with air conditioning, heating, and an indoor fireplace.
That's right. The only thing
and a whole bunch of sour cream and butter.
Perfect for the fan of the smell of French fries.
Mm-hmm.
And it even has air conditioning, towels, heating.
28 feet long, 12 feet wide. How much of it is actually made of potato? Any part of it at all?
You know, I got to look into it. I'm guessing you probably can't eat it. It's probably been sitting around for a little bit. And I'm not sure if it has those little stems, those green stems.
The problem I've got is that it's a queen-size bed and I only like a king. Steve, if you recall, a listener earlier said that your head is the shape of a Mr. Potato Head.
Oh, that's right. I'd forgotten that. Thanks for bringing that up.
It all fits right into the segment.
That's good. It's got air conditioning. Otherwise, you'd probably bake in there.
Yeah, hot
potato. Oh, come on. That's a good one.
You're better than me.
I'm so below.
You're better than
me. What was I thinking?
Do they circulate the smell of potatoes through the air conditioning? Is that how it works?
They should.
Yeah. Steve, I think you want in on this, don't you?
I would get in on this, absolutely.
Okay.
This all right, and finally, your last one. Now, this is honestly, this is something I would invest in.
Mm-hmm.
As will a whole bunch of other people who saw this as a good investment. It's the Ruth Bader Ginsburg action figure.
Yes. Steve, throw away the G.I. Joes, the Barbies, move over for the Ruth Bader Ginsburg action figure.
Does it come with a doily?
They have, check this out, Mary Vanderbilt, $15,000 goal. They've raised $613,000.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Let's get into production now.
Well, she's a great role model, so you should...
Little Abigail should have one.
She's got pointed finger, heeled loafers, pulled back hair, wired rim glasses, silk gloves, a hardwood gavel, and a righteous robe, man.
That's right. That's right.
If you gave $100, you could get her, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie, Hillary, and Obama action figures all. That's what you get for giving $100.
Now, I didn't put the picture on it, but if you get all these together, they kind of form like an Avengers Marvel team force where they're like all standing. And I mean, Ruth herself has her mighty wand, not wand, gavel in her hand.
Your wand. What Supreme Court are you watching?
I've been watching a lot of Marvel recently.
So that's very cool. That is actually very cool. And they're talking about it. They haven't got it yet, but they're talking about a Donald Trump with real lying action, where you'd have that little see and say ring on the back, and you pull it, and it would lie to you.
How about one that's nose grows every time he lies?
Oh, good call. Let me write that down. It'll be part of the investment.
That'll be for next week's.
Nice job by you.
Thank you, Steve.
As always, crap Michael found on the internet. A regular feature of this program, still amazingly unsponsored, but that could change at any time. Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next for Steve.
The Steve Cochran Show. Cochran Show.
9:16 to White Hot White Sox. Ed Farmer coming up before 10 o'clock. And again, another opportunity for you to win White Sox tickets. And then you hear a scene from Grumpy Old Men with me as the weatherman. We'll give you tickets to Weather Day at Guaranteed Rate Field, which is coming up on Tuesday the 14th.
That would be correct.
See, not just another pretty face. Now, joining us is a woman I consider a friend of the program, because we've talked a lot in the past 6 months. From Let It Be Us, Susan McConnell is here, and Susan McConnell has also brought in a friend of hers, Ross Cochran. Ross, nice to see you as well.
I'm happy to be here.
There you go. Susan, great to see you again.
Thank you for having us.
Always great to see you. And there's a big event tomorrow, so let's start there. I don't know. How would you describe this event?
It's called an Adoption and Foster Care Information Fair. It's in Libertyville, Illinois. It's sponsored by Senator Dan McConkie, as well as seven other legislators in the northern region of Illinois.
And these are all legislators who share the belief that we have, is it 18,000 kids currently in need of foster care?
Yes.
And we need to find them homes, and as fast as possible.
And a lot of them are available for adoption.
Ross, you have really been taken by this organization.
Yeah, so last time I was on talking about this, my wife, Lauren, who's a nurse, you know, she would take care of kids who would be interacting with the system, and she would just be so heartbroken over just seeing the kids like that, and just, she was like, I just want to take them home. So we became, you know, because of your story, we knew we wanted to, you know, have a family that was based, had some adoption history in it, mm-hmm. and foster to adopt, and just foster care became something that we were really excited about. And Let It Be Us, coincidentally, before, you know, they were on a couple months ago, before they're on last year, became the, you know, best organization to help kind of guide us as we didn't know anything initially.
And you introduced me to Susan and to Let It Be Us. And
Ross, did you go to one of these information things?
Yeah, we went to one of those events. We went to an event in Joliet 2 years ago. And now I'm here. So look at me now.
Yeah, and we'll explain the extended part of you're here in a second. But first, I want to talk about respite care for a second. Because for folks who have been listening now, we need to kick out some myths that are out there. But for folks who are listening now going, I'd love to help, but I can't take it on. It's too much. What is respite care?
So respite care, so there's a bunch of different things, and Susan can speak to this as well. There's a bunch of different things that people can do right away. The first thing that I would just say to dispel a myth initially is, you know, if you can parent, you can be a foster parent. Plain and simple. And there's a bunch of things that you can do also just for foster parents in your community. Odds are you know someone who is doing this, who is going through this, and you can support them in the same way that you would if they brought home a baby from the hospital, right? Like, you can
provide, you want to make him dinner, you want to do something for him.
You can babysit the other kids. You can, you know, connect with them in any sort of human way as they are trying to connect with that child. So it is possible. And I think the biggest thing that I try to do when I talk to people about it is just kind of almost lower the barrier of entry, because people do kind of build it up as this huge deal. And it's just parenting. It's just providing kids what every kid should have, no matter what.
From what you've told me, everyone that you've met along this fairly recent journey, they all say the same thing. I was intimidated. I got in. Now I can't believe I didn't get in before.
Yeah.
And respite care in particular helps folks who are fostering kids. No, it's fine. Folks who are fostering kids to have a break for whatever happens in their lives.
Yeah, so respite care is just you are being a foster parent for a set period of time. There's a bunch of different circumstances that could lead to a child needing home for a weekend while, you know, some other home gets set up for them. Or in our case, we had a couple cases for about 10 days.
So, Ross, what if you and your spouse both work?
Great question. So there's a bunch of different options. There's a bunch of different daycare options that actually DCFS has come alongside to make sure that that is not only a viable option for, you know, being all over the state, but also cost that DCFS can help support. And also, I think, too, approach this like you approach parenting, right? And I think one of the things that happens for a lot of people, there's a lot of good people who listen, who if they had a child in their life, you would figure that out, right? You would talk about it with your boss. You would talk about it with your coworkers. You would talk about it with your community. And I think you would be surprised. You know, this happened with us with Abigail. We were shocked at how many people just came alongside of us just because we brought a baby home.
Sure. Right?
And I think you would be surprised at how much people are willing to help because people recognize that how much this need exists for the state.
I want to go over some of these myths when we come back. But Susan, talk a little bit about what caused you to do this, and get a few of your friends to be rabid volunteers to help you start an organization. I mean, it's not like you needed to do this, but you felt compelled. So tell your story a little bit.
I have a background. First of all, I'm an adoptive mother. I have a background in human resources, in marketing, in recruiting. For a while I was a mother, I became a professional photographer, and I worked with the state to photograph kids who were available for adoption. So I saw that they needed more than just a photograph to get adopted, because they weren't getting adopted. Illinois ranks last in the nation at getting our children adopted.
It's amazing.
So I brought out the recruiting tools and used those same tools in this field where they just have not been applied. Marketing and recruiting.
And what's the simplest way to explain the mission of Let It Be Us? Because you can help people get licensed. You can help make the connection to have the child come into your life. So how do we describe you? What's the best way to do?
And then we also help children receive placements who are in emergent need or who are challenging to place. We have an aggregated registry of parents, 600 of whom are licensed and waiting, about 300 of whom want to get a license. So we're helping those 300 get their license, and then we're working with the ones who are waiting and matching them with the children who need parents.
So you network, you make it simpler, cleaner, and the way you describe it, you eliminate some of the excuses that people might have.
Yes. As my good friend Jennifer McAndrew says, these are just children, and loving them is very easy.
Well, part of what you're doing with the photos is you actually put a face. You know, if you can talk about these 18,000 kids, but if you don't see any pictures or know what it's easy to kind of not think about them. But if you
can fall in love
share
with the
on
face.
Social media, there's a picture of a kid, and you're like, that's the kid I'm not giving an opportunity to. You know, right. it gets to you.
Some of the children who are awaiting adoption are on our website, on the state's photo listing site, which is called the Heart Gallery of Illinois, and that increases a child's chance of being adopted significantly.
Yeah, and who knew? And as you said, it started in part from you being a photographer of kids. All right, let's come back. Let's talk more about these myths in just a second. We'll remind you again about the Let It Be Us get-together tomorrow so you can get your own questions answered face-to-face.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
927. Very taken with the organization Let It Be Us. And Susan McConnell's here. Ross Cochran is here as well. I got an announcement about Ross coming up, too. But, Ross, we were talking about some of the myths that people have in regards to fostering. Give me a couple of those.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I'll just speak to, I think a lot of people can have a concern that about what, you know, if they have a child that's already in the home or multiple children, and, like, what bringing in a kid from the system does. And like
Because of the TV image, a foster kid is damaged, and they might be violent, or they might be some kid that went through fetal alcohol syndrome and has behavioral issues or whatever.
Right, so the two things about that, right, that they are kids, right? And as great as your kids are, your kids also have plenty of issues too, right? And I think what happens is we kind of play up the dramatic nature when in reality it's just like these kids have been through trauma, and you can get equipped on how to handle trauma.
Part of the training.
You go through training to become a parent. One of the things that Lauren and I were most excited about with going through foster care and really wanting to foster is expanding Abigail's world, right? Like she has this world where she's well-loved by her grandparents, well-loved by so many people in her life. And we want her to know that, like, there's people out there who have had different experiences than she has. We think it's going to make her a more well-rounded person, on top of the fact that it's ultimately the caseworker who's going to advocate for your family. The caseworker wants you to continue to do this. So they're going to make sure that you have a child who is the right fit for your family, and they're going to help you work through whatever issue that will come up in the same way. It's like having an advocate for, you know, your child, right? If I have an issue with Abigail, I don't have anybody other than Lauren who can help me work through that issue, right? Like,
you call me.
I could. That's true.
Susan, along with coming out tomorrow to this event, which I'll give you the details on again, speak to what you want people to know. Let's get people involved. What do they need to do?
People can easily become a child welfare warrior. They can donate to 501c3s that support work like we do. They can also donate to us. That would be awesome. They can become CASAs, court-appointed special advocates. That's a way to volunteer and mentor a child. They can become a foster parent like Ross and do respite care. They can become a foster parent and work with a child for a longer period of time. They can become an adoptive parent and adopt from foster care.
So it's not one model. There's tons of ways that you
can, a lot of ways.
You can really spread the love and change a kid's life.
And they can support families who do foster care and who are involved in foster care and involved in adoption.
All right, Ross, what about the cost?
Oh, it's free. This whole
it's
experience.
It's a big myth that's out there. People go, well, listen, I can't afford to do this.
No legal costs, completely free.
Don't have to hire a lawyer.
No. And each child comes with a stipend that he or she gets to keep till he or she turns 18 or graduates from high school. And in Illinois, this is new, they get to go to college for free if they go to a state school.
Which is tremendous. The training itself is how long?
So it's 39 hours. So if you think about it, it's a week of work for a child, right? And we all, if for those of you
pretty
who are
fair
parents,
commitment.
You know, you did more than a week of work to get ready for your child.
You did more than a week to get your learner's permit to learn how to drive a car.
Right.
And that 39 hours is structured, or you could do it in piecemeal fashion if you don't have all the time. Susan, can you speak to that?
You can do it online now in Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, again, let's knock down that barrier. What else? Either one of you. Something else you know is a barrier to entry that people might bring up. Anything come to mind?
I think like the biggest thing to say is that not only is there a way for you to be a parent, right? I think people often are like, "Oh, I can never do it. I could get too attached," right? And the truth is, if that is what you are saying right now in your car as you listen to this, like you are the exact right person to jump in with us because kids need attachment. Kids deserve attachment. Kids deserve the love that they should have gotten that they haven't gotten. And you, whether you're doing it for 2 days or for the rest of the kid's life, like you can be a part of changing that kid's story. And I think also, you know, if you are a corporation or if you are someone who is listening to this who has some level of resource, I would love to talk to you personally. One of the things that I'm most excited about with LetItBeUs is it is an agile organization. It's an organization that allows that we have the capacity to meet with people wherever they are at and figure out the best way for them to help these kids.
And Susan, what's the money go to? Like when you raise money for the organization, what do you do with the money?
It goes to increase the impact of our programming that helps children get into foster homes and then helps them become adopted.
And cover the cost of folks that have to do this legwork.
Yes, the more we can scale, the more work we can do.
Right. And we're talking about 18,000 kids. And if you have your way, you'll have them all in homes by the end of the weekend.
We can be very good at this.
Yeah. Well, you are very good at this.
Yeah.
Pat yourself on the back.
I know you have the event on Saturday, but a friend of yours, Bob Noonan, has texted me about their annual golf outing and dinner on September 9th at 10 a.m. that you can find out on the website for Let It Be Us.
LetItBeUs.org?
They're speaking to you, Steve, with a golf outing.
Oh, how about that, right?
And we need sponsors of that golf outing. And let me tell you, if you're a sponsor, you are in front of a lot of parents. You're in front of all of us, our aggregated network, our social media, and now during this time, this pivotal time when we're at the tipping point, you're in front of all of them too.
And a texter from the 773, what about having an extra bedroom? I've heard through foster parents, I must have a separate bedroom for a child. I'm not sure I have the space.
You can put two little girls together. You can put two big girls together.
So common sense.
Yes.
Yeah. And the space, I think people, especially in the city, can get really nervous about. But that's something that the system wants you to do this, right? We want you to do this and LetItBeUs. DCFS wants you to get involved any way you can, right? Like we're all on the same team to get you jumped in. So we'll figure out the best scenario for you in the space that you're at.
You're quite taken with this place.
I am quite taken with this place. So yeah, I I'm actually working for Letter BS now. So my
good role, hire, Susan.
Thank you. I think so too. Director of Resource Development.
Yes. So my role is going to be talking to everybody who's listening to this about ways that they can get involved, ways that they can support the organization, ways that, you know, corporate partnerships and corporate sponsors, but also ways that people can, you know, really fund this work that we're doing and come alongside us in the work we're doing.
Why does it matter to you?
I think a lot about one of the programs that I'm most taken by is the targeted recruitment program, and the idea that Susan and her team, and now I guess technically I'm on that team now, part of the Avengers. We can take a child who their case is, for whatever circumstances, made them a challenge to place. And our whole job is finding a home for them, finding a place for them to belong. That's all that we have to do. And we can be agile in talking to different parents and finding the right parents for that child in a way that, you know, just how can you not be excited about that kind of work?
Using the powers and the God-given gift of communication that you have for good and not evil?
Yes, exactly.
It's funny, when we had the Let It Be Us people in last year, Bob Noonan and Susan here, we were talking about this, and Ross is like, hey, that's the place I did it through. You know, like random
small
connection.
World connections.
Yeah. And they're like, yes. Oh, yeah, we know who your son is, and then...
Yeah.
Now look.
And now Ross is part of the team. The Avengers, is that what you call them, Susan?
I like that.
Oh, that's a new title.
I call us Child Welfare Warriors. But yeah. I'll tell you, you know, last Thursday when this terrible tragedy happened, what I saw was there were two little girls coming into foster care, and they didn't have a place to put them. And so they were able to come to us, and we were able to find a family for them to go to that night.
And time is of the essence. If this is something you've been thinking about for a long time, I think the best thing you could do would be to go to this event tomorrow and get some of these questions answered. You know, it's easy to be a good person and think about it and put it off. It doesn't mean you're not a good person if you do put it off. But yeah, putting it off's got to stop. At some point, if this is in your heart, come to this event and find out more. And again, details, either one of you?
Libertyville, tomorrow.
What time?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
We'll have refreshments, we'll have donuts, we'll have speakers. You will learn, I say, about 12 hours worth of work in 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. And every question you could possibly have will get answered.
A lot of questions, big, an hour long of questions and answers.
And there's no dumb questions. If you have any question at all, a question you feel guilty about, there's no, listen, you're doing a big deal by taking a child into your life. So ask any question you want.
We have licensing experts there. We have CASA of Lake County there. We have representatives there who want to hear from people about what they want to see. It's going to be awesome.
And Ross, as you know, your uncle Kevin and Aunt Denise have been doing this in New Jersey for 20 years.
Yeah.
Changing lives
up there.
So, well, I'm proud of you, son. And for all those people who go, Steve, you talk about your family a lot. Does this mean you're going to talk more about Let It Be Us than you would necessarily? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, actually it does. because it's a great organization, and I'm thrilled that Ross is a part of it. Thank you, Susan, for the work that you do.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Every day. And again, letitbeus.org?
Letitbeus.org.
Back of the headlines next, 720 WGN.
Cold enough for you?
The 0-1 to Delmonico. Swinging a long one. Right center field. On the move. At the track. It's gone. 3-run homer. Sox win. Sox win. Sox win. Turn on the fireworks.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Break them up. Break them up, Dave. Break up the White Sox. They're too
don't
hot.
Don't break them up.
They're too
don't
hot.
Break them up.
It's not fair to the rest of the baseball.
No, it's really isn't.
Ed Farmer joins us now as the White Sox slapped around the Red Sox. And I tell you, buddy, you've been on a nice run.
Yes, we have. Tiring, but nice, yeah.
Yeah.
The sun's coming out. I had to ask someone what that was in the sky. They said, that's actually the sun. I said, oh, good.
Yeah, it's a little different other than the swamp that's been existing all over the country in the last, I don't know.
It's unbelievable. They're calling it the atmospheric river. We're in it.
All right, so why the change? What's happened in the last week or so that has made the White Sox light bulb turn on?
Well, as you guys know, we often say this, they don't quit. They don't. They're a young team, but they're not quitting. And they find a way to get close enough. They don't always win them, naturally, but they have a chance to win them. And he had a chance. And I made one statement before the pitch was thrown. The shortstop came in to talk to the Boston reliever. And I said, usually when you get the shortstop coming in, he puts bad thoughts in your mind, and anything can happen here. The next pitch went out of the ballpark, and evidently he put bad thoughts in his mind. Thank goodness he did.
Yeah, well, tell me something about that. What If you didn't want to see, and I assume you rarely wanted someone to come out and talk to you, if you didn't want to, someone to come over and talk to you, keeping in mind we're on the air, what would you say to get them to go back to their position?
I'd say don't come back. Don't come in here. Just stay over there. I know what I'm doing.
With a few adjectives in there as well, I assume?
No, not so many, because they're my teammates. The other team, yeah, I had a few verbs. or could be used as a verb or an adjective. Certainly. They knew they didn't want to come out there either. And one of my dear friends, Kirk Gibson, he said to me, I remember seeing you that first day at Tiger Stadium. And I went, uh-oh, this guy and I are going to lock horns. So I said, yeah, I welcome that. He's a great guy. But you pick your spots. The catcher... I told Darren that I was pitching in Boston at Fenway, and in right center, the bullpen goes back to an angle. And I gave up on the Fred Lynn, and Bruce Kim started to walk off behind home plate. It was in the bottom of the ninth inning. There were two on, we were up by a run. He hits this bomb, and Kim starts going to the dugout. It's gone. Lemon reaches in sideways in the bullpen, and catches it. And goes, I go, where are you going? He goes, I've always thought. I said, that's an out.
good times.
These things, you know, you know what you want to do, and then you get somebody in there just a little bit with the mental stuff. My third baseman was Jim Morrison and Greg Pryor. They would come in and they'd say, so what's going on? I'd say, you want to tell me something? No, I just wanted to make it feel easy.
That was player code, baby.
Steve, I want to get it.
They knew. I mean, it's like anything else.
I want to get Ed's thoughts, Steve, on what we saw last Sunday when Reynaldo Lopez struck out 14 Tiger batters. Ed, did you know early on in that game that you were seeing a special and really a history-making kind of performance?
Absolutely not. You go in these the guys nowadays, they go into these vacuums of these strikeouts. They get three or four in a row or two or three in a row. Mm-hmm. And then they don't have any more. You go, what happened? They start losing it. Maybe the leg drive's not there. The arm's on the right spot. But Lopez, he was throwing 97 miles an hour. We were looking for that a month ago. He wasn't there yet. And I had remarked in spring training with Darren, I said, this guy, he probably pitched winter baseball, and I don't know if he has. But in Dominican, that's what you do. You go home and then take a month off, then you stay active, and you pitch. And he could have been a little tired from that. I don't know. I know one thing. He did all the drills in spring training and threw when he was supposed to, but he just wasn't there. Now that last time, the time before, the ball was jumping out of his hand like it was a grape. They didn't have a chance. I mean, 20 strikeouts? And, you can say, well, he had a great day. So did the relievers. Each reliever that came in, all three of them, they struck out two batters in each inning they were in. So we wound up with 20 strikeouts of the Tigers.
You know, it's a good weekend for the White Sox to take out the world champs. The Red Sox have been struggling. Chris Sale, you got a little extra motion with tonight's game. But to take it right back full circle to where it was when you started, it's a great message for kids that might be listening or coaches that might be listening this morning that are in the middle of baseball and getting the seasons kicked up. You don't quit. You don't quit. Get out there, have fun, and don't quit.
And Sale's going to be ready to pitch. Make no mistake about that. So is Lopez. Do we want him to strike out 14 again in six innings? I don't think that's necessary. And I remarked last night, we're playing the Boston Red Sox this year. They are the champs of baseball from last year. That was last year. This is a different year.
Yep.
May not be working out the way they want it. And Sale, one of my dear friends, he knows I want to beat him tonight as well, and he's a great guy.
Ed, how much of a setback is this injury to Carlos Rodon?
I don't know what exactly it is. You know, I've heard things. I'm sure the bat sprayed some fluid off his elbow. To what degree, I don't know. I don't know if it's just, edema of water. But you could have some blood mixed in there. If you stretch the ligament there, you're going to have some blood in your elbow as well. It just sits there. But hopefully it's nothing. We can give him the time off and then bring him back slowly. And we're great with that. Brian Ball, the trainer, he does a great job. His whole staff back there, they're great. That comes from the top with with Kenny Williams, and it goes to Rick Hahn and everybody. They do a nice job of keeping these guys. If they're going to miss some time, they put them on the IL and bring somebody else up, and that's what you have to do. But everybody on the team, Steve, they like one another.
Right.
They like one another.
It makes a difference.
Oh, yeah, it certainly does. The Red Sox, they did that last year. Usually you'll find one or two guys on your team that are not great guys, but you need them to play. And in short term, you can win. But in the long term, you have to get rid of them. We don't have that. We've got a young group of guys that know how to play together. And it isn't so much they're learning how to play together. And it isn't so much that they know how to play yet, but they care about one another. If one guy fails, they might pick up the rope and say, I'm going to pull on this a little harder. We're not going to go down and defeat. That's what's happened the last few games.
It's the great Ed Farmer, Ed and DJ on Sox Radio tonight, tomorrow, Sunday. You know, you get two out of three, it'll be good, but Mammoths will take all three. You know, just sweep those champs out.
You know, I look at that differently than everybody because we want to win the game tonight and then take the game on Saturday. But we got a big deal for sale tonight.
Yeah.
He and I go back a long way. I had him arrested one night.
Wow. Wow, you buried the lead.
You can't stop now.
Oh, yeah. I had him arrested on the Dan Ryan. And, yeah, I'll tell that story at a later time.
Exactly.
But,
yeah. Hi, my friend.
Hey, hopefully we'll call a winner tonight.
Yes, you will. Sam. And a pair of tickets to the White Sox Weather Day with Tom Skilling Tuesday, May 14th. And those tickets go to Glenn from Minooka. Thank you, Glenn, for listening. We got some folks in the studio who, actually, one of which paid for a visit to the studio and a tour at auction, and they're tennis stars. So we're going to have them challenge Bill Leff, who's a tennis star in his own right, and I think they all could throttle him, coming up in just a second. And also, Steve will be in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next. The world's greatest grandchild, Abigail Grace, is here, and she's mostly been charming the staff with stories of her pretend horse, Chica Linda. Abigail Grace, say hi. Hi. Oh, she only does that on Eddie and Joe Bo show. Yeah. Bill, jump on that mic for a second. I want to say hi to Carol, Sharon, Helen, and Kristen, tennis buddies. It's Sharon's birthday, but she's too shy to mention it. And you ladies are all here in the continuing week-long celebration of Sharon's birthday. Mm-hmm. Now, Helen, this is something you picked up at an auction.
Yes.
Where was the auction? Lean into that mic for me.
We were at the auction at Boulder Ridge in Lake in the Hills for Family Health Partnerships.
Oh, very nice.
They're in Crystal Lake.
Well, thank you. Bill and Wendy are about to go on. I'll show you where their office is. Feel free to steal anything you want out of there.
Thank you.
Bill, being a big tennis player, these guys are all tennis pals.
I know they are. You can tell by the eyes. There's a dead stare from the eyes. There's no blinking.
Killer instinct?
Yes, killer instinct all the way.
Right, yeah. Right.
Very intimidating.
And I asked the four ladies, I said, who's the best player? And before any of them could answer, Sharon goes, me.
Oh,
yeah, me.
Problem solved.
It's true. It's true.
What's your game? Is it power? Is it finesse? Ground strokes?
Distracts us.
Quickness.
Distracts you. You ever play anybody that's a distractor?
No. That's an interesting tactic.
Yeah. All right. Before we run out of time, would each of you name your favorite child? I'm just curious. No?
Favorite child?
Yeah. It's your favorite child? No? No? Okay. I just
can't do that. Only one-on-one can I tell them.
Anybody want to say hi? You want to say hi to anybody? You want to kiss up to anybody? You want to mention a business? You want to plug anything?
Just hello to Suzanne Hoban. She's the director of Family Health Partnership.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, and thank you for the work you're doing there, too. You guys are welcome here anytime.
Thank you. We'll be back tomorrow.
You enjoy it. I'll be home. Bill, what are you doing today?
A little bit of everything, Steve. In honor of this incredible Jeopardy champion, we have our own edition of WGN Jeopardy. We'll be playing that at 10:35.
Well, what would a category be?
Do you want me to tell you all the categories?
No, just give me one.
Just one of them?
Yeah.
Rhymes with Rick Hogan.
I'm going to take rhymes with Rick Hogan for 200.
Don't guess any, because it might be you might give away one of the answers.
Schmick-schmogan?
Schmick-schmogan is the $500 one, yeah.
Enjoy your weekend, everybody. Get to that Let Us Be Out event tomorrow, letitbeus.org. And I'll come back Monday, and we'll try to fix what we did today.